whatever the court would that go straight to the petition? Would it with the last part of the petition, we know that the system that would then continue with our mission. But I still remember that last week we did not finalize our meeting where the way of sending questions from last week's sessions which were not attended to and not completed before we even start today's program. Let's go back to those questions, whichever. There are questions where members feel strongly that they need to be responded to, but I'll just go through those questions just to give a very short summary, and then allow the department to shortly and briefly respond to those questions, and I'll get the feeling from the members that you feel that there are questions that you feel they were not responded to, up your satisfaction, then you attend to them, then you finish with them. But that will be today's program, which will be Sunday. That it means I said two items, but the first one then, it should be only those questions because I finalized them, then go to the petition because that should be very short again. Then we'll spend much of our time on the second and the third for the report, which is affected today. Maybe let me go just straight to the apologies. The first apology that you have today is from Mr. Brown, because he's the one that is supposed to be leading us and the apologies that have got to the office. But instead of Mr. Brown today, they put the lady in either to send in for Mr. Brown. I'll then hand over to you in either to be there whatever they are in the apologies that have got to the office. Thank you.
Okay, so then we receive the following apologies. The one is from the minister, the second one is from the DG, and then the two members will apologize. Honourable Boko and Honourable Mr. Nguni is here.
Thank you. The apologies that have come in our office, I'll check with the department. I know the apologies that were just received from the minister. I'm not sure whether there are any apologies from your side. Okay, in the absence of any. Then let me just briefly summarize those questions. It should just be a summary really on the two presentations that we got last week and running short of time when we at the level of the responses from the department, we could not reach all the responses that we needed last week. But the better part of them, the DG and the minutes and the deputy minister did manage to respond to. The questions that were not responded to are those that were very much focused on the certain, you know, certain branch or area of specialty within the DE, like there was a question on around the teacher institution of Afghans, what is happening around them. The village of primary school in Kumalanga that needed to be fixed. We know that the DG has responded to the infrastructure person. School connected to the DVD channel. The retention rate of greater. Yeah, and then some of them were answered, but maybe it should be difficult if I would go through all of them as they are here, but I'm sure the department knows exactly which questions I will be taking. If I can just hand over the to the department again, just to finish up with those questions. As we are coming up with the responses, I'll be seeking if there are any questions that are outstanding, I'll make sure that I do remind the department to attend to those questions, because I believe if I can go through all of them now, I'll be spending most of the time where I should be responding to them. I'm not sure who's going to be the one that comes in, but I'll be handing over to you. And today we are not expecting any introduction. We are saying as a committee right now, we know each other, the CBE knows us, better speak those minutes by notice of two notes, unless, I always say, unless they either personally say no change, I don't know these honorable members, and if ever there is an honorable member, we say there is an option that they don't know what to start in, but from the copying, these are the black pages, you know each other, let us continue like that. They give them over to UCM, because they need a short view on that.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you. We ended the discussion with you again. Chairperson, you might recollect that I spent most of the time with you during the last meeting, but I had to leave because of another engagement, during which time these questions were put. So what I can do basically is refer the questions to the members who were present so that they understand the context and the content of the question. My first advice is, of course, to deal with the first part of the question that have been raised, and then after Kema Kojana, the DDG for teacher development to deal with the professional development issues. With your permission, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, TM, and honorable members. With permission, I will respond to all the questions being related to Kenya. There were questions around storm damages and around active roads. Now, Chair, the first issue around suspension, just to inform members that at the National Department, in terms of providing, ensuring that learners are provided with suspension, we have entered into contract with the Department of Correctional Services. We have entered into contract with the Department of Environmental Affairs, as well as the Department of Labor. And in those contracts, one of the items that we are dealing with is the rehabilitation of furniture that has been damaged. And we are working with almost all the provinces in terms of facilitating that process to ensure that debts that are damaged are collected from those schools and rehabilitated. Another initiative that we are working on now also is to engage with FET colleges in those localities, to engage learners in those FET colleges who are in carpentry, to engage with the provincial departments and district offices and address issues of rehabilitation. However, in that, in some instances, we have picked up that, especially with our initiative on FET colleges, the cost of rehabilitating the furniture units become more expensive than by new measures. But on the other three contracts that we have, the cost of rehabilitation furniture is quite reasonable. So we are proceeding with that process, and then all the departments are participating in those contracts. We are also in the inter-provincial meeting that we had with all the provinces a few weeks ago. We are encouraging now also to start using the process of using community members to assist school government bodies through the non-standard allocation in the process of rehabilitating permission. So it's an ongoing process. Initially, the uptake was not that encouraging, but we are seeing quite a lot of improvement in that process of the rehabilitation of Benin Arada and by the new Benin Arada, I think it was verified by members. And we will be looking at increasing the intensity of that program as a project by the second issue that was raised is around Bolin Lela. That was storm damage, and subsequently to the meeting we checked with the Department of Education as well as the Department of Public Health in Mpumalanga, and the response that we received on that is that in the new financial year, all the schools that have been affected by storm currently they are being assessed with the intention of addressing them immediately. Schools that cannot be addressed immediately, they will be provided with mobile classrooms so that learning and teaching can not be affected. However, what we indicated after the meeting, especially with regards to the winter hours, that these schools open to January cannot wait until the new financial year. The process of providing mobile classrooms must be done with immediate effect. And we have also given them permission to redirect some of the funds in order to address the 17 contravening funds, in order to provide mobile classrooms while the process of adjustment and acquiring contractors to come and address those issues. In the last issue, Chair, that I would like to address is the question of the access road. This is one issue that we have been grappling with for some time. Once in new schools that we are building, it becomes easy to factor in the construction of an access road to a school. Where a school already is in existence, it becomes quite a challenge, and we've had meetings with the National Treasury also to assist us to come up with a mechanism where we can use our own funds, because sometimes when we go through the intergovernmental or interdepartmental process, because some of the roads are municipal roads and some of them are provincial roads, the process takes quite long for us to address those access roads. So we are in discussion with National Treasury on that process so that we can find a mechanism where we can use our own funding to address access to schools, access roads, and in one way or another request the funding to be redirected back from that entity. If it's a municipal road, then there will be a process of redirecting that funding back to the station so that we don't use that money. So that discussion is in process. But in the interim, what we are doing, we are referring those issues to the affected municipality or to the provincial road, to the Department of Roads and Transport in that particular province as and when we receive that request. However, we have also discussed that with our provincial provinces in our head combat committee meeting, in order to facilitate the process of discussion with the Department of Roads and Transport in the provinces, as well as the discussion with the National Department of Transport for the them to assist us in facilitating that process. So, I think in a nutshell, I've tried to address the thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you very much, Honorable President, Honorable Members, the Minister and colleagues. To raise an issue of the trust in African community in the context, I want to understand the context of that question, because it's very important to indicate that because what has been wanted to ask, you know, there are different of implanted that are not qualified to teach. And as much the department has had to a programmer to program of the requirements as we reported time to understand to find out whether how many teachers are qualified to teach, which are whether they are implanted, that they are qualified to teach. The intention of that program is that we assist the provinces with exception, and we from time to time provide provinces with exception support, so that we are able at the level of the government, at the level of the district, to deal with other matters. Because we find that within the specific district, we will be able to deal with the exception, and that is our community president director to move a leader from one school to the other. Because what has been found that is that you might find that in one school, you've got more mentors than the other learning support. So this is a provided project, and it's a system that will be able to assist both the province as well as the district to deal with the mission. We have been providing the provinces with a support around the in this regard. The second question relates to what is the policy in regard to the rural allowance? Our understanding is about the incentives policy. Now, the incentives policy talks to the issue of the areas that have to teach and have to be incentivized by the people who can pay. The policy is in place, but we are now revising the policy. It is at the advantage now in the department. So we want to confirm on the policy of the people who are able to confront the analysis before they get to the public for the public in terms of the our question is relating to the discussion around and health accountable. We have generally the plan, which is a technology and effective measures document, which actually guides the issues around the health management in the school, but also guides the internal of the integrated quality management of the local administration. And what we are really looking into is to just analyze what we have the management with some way from what is actually and show that the rules of and rules of the as well is trying so performance so what performance that is the status that can happen the management of the management of the schools. It's not only the department, go down to the level of the teacher. So that's the I'm not sure that we're able to capture the question that has been raised before. There is a question that looks into what to do with the teachers who are encouraging the students. Yes, one of the organization which we would be able to do is to train teachers who are encouraging the students. Because we know that if you are a new teacher, you are encouraging the student. We need to deal with students and mentorship. So we are able to guide those teachers and encourage them to go down fresh from university. So that process is ongoing. The concerns that are raised are under the university of to be as strong as the quality used to be in terms of the preparation of teachers. Yes, this is concerned that the several times can still be engaged educating the Department of Higher Education and because in terms of the programs that are being offered, we indicated that very important for the performance on education. Because the issue was about strengthening the pedagogical skills of the teachers. Yes, in terms of the content knowledge, we understand that the students from that, but the time for education needs to be fixed. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the responses. As I said, not only about the other part of this question, the way I answered last week, which was the book to the third meaning, which was the part of the day to participate in the testing campaign to respond. Unless you attain, you have got your own question that you feel was not well touched on last week and it has not been responded even now. But you must always remember again that you always have that rule of making sure that now and again you land, I always see what you land out typing with those questions so that they can even communicate and have that sense of structure those questions that you give to them. But let me put an indication that you're not thinking about this ever, because they were the problem that you really, they should feel was not satisfied to your expectation. Another thing like that.
I just wanted to do a follow-up, and maybe we can get it next week at the meeting. I would actually like to see all the departments and all the community involvement in furnishing to school. Because we are the oversight first, it ain't happening. So if we start bringing photo albums of the county schools without furniture, where's line idols, when nothing is happening, I really don't see it happening. Where's the conduct of correction services, for example? I haven't seen a single school where that was delivered, or maybe the whole one. So can we request a complete comprehensive report on that next week's meeting?
Can I say that I just have a little bit of time on around, I'm not sure if the date that it's the 20-something of March, where we're delivering all the provinces, the DBE, that is our campaign strategy workshop. Let us put that on the market and to say, let us where we get a clearer picture from the provinces themselves to give us the DBE, where we get a clearer picture on what is happening when we talk on infrastructure, which flag those issues under infrastructure, furniture and everything. I promise to come ahead. Thank you so much. Let us proceed.
agenda. As I said, we're starting with the issue of the petition that was submitted by Honourable Contact. We have dealt with the most part of the petition, but there was just one outstanding part on that petition where Honourable Contact was inquiring on the issue of attendance awarded in the province of Limpopo when it comes to the issues of the National School Nutrition Program. And it was alerted, sent out the awarded to friends, families, and even the previously the political leaders in the province, where even the name of the previous ANC leaders, which was Madema, was highlighted in that section of today. The tenders are being awarded to those people that are politically connected and family members and also the friends. So that was the part that we did not get the response, and the DDE was then going back to the Department of Education and the Congo to get to that part so that we finalize with our report on this petition. Can I then hand over to Ms. Carlson to lead us on that one for us to service and make it a consolidated report back to the speaker? Over to you, Ms. Carlson.
Good morning, honorable members. Thank you, Chair, and good morning, honorable members and the members of staff. If you can call, we had reported in the initial team in terms of the petition, but as we indicated, the petition is not sufficient to respond to the specific areas where families of certain departmental officials were being implicated, but we have referred to question number MA942 as well as question 907, which we have said we have sufficiently responded to, except for 9472. I must indicate, Chair, that most of the information is sourced from the Department of Education, and we rely on that information. And it has been quite difficult for the National Department to corroborate that information, because most of the documents are located at the provincial government. We try every effort to make sure that we pursue necessary and acting agency with the support of our DG, and therefore we have had responses from the acting HOD, which are the questions or the responses that are reflected on question 942 and 947. And as indicated that most of the names of the officials, if I have to correlate quickly, that names of the officials who serve in the supervising committee have been missed, as well as the suppliers who were contracted during the period in 2011 until 2013-14 financial year. And this information has been provided in terms of the names. But if I have to go to question number two, which related to the specific question around the previous AMC Mr. G.S. Madeva, the two suppliers or the names of the company have been provided in terms of who they are. And the only question that was outstanding is that there was no specific information or details around the names of the schools as in question 9432, where the names, the amount of the contract were required, as well as the period of the contract and when they were ending, and as well as the schools that formed all of the contracts pertaining to those specific two suppliers. But in terms of the committee, the provincial department has provided that information as reflected under question number two. The DGW committee as well as the Commission committee. And then in terms of the disciplinary, if I go back to question number 10, the disciplinary measures that were taken by the department, the corporate department of education, they have indicated that the departmental official whose family was connected to the contracts of some of the ones that were awarded in the corporate department of education, that official has now been was suspended for 12 months and it has now been removed from the unit, so from the NSMP unit. And that specific individual or official is named as the African. And then in terms of the petition, we also provided a form relating to the one of Mr. Marama, where the acting HOD also responded to say that the department did not establish on the information whether these directors in the two supply companies that I have mentioned, that these directors are related to Mr. Marama or not. So as I say, Chair, it is difficult to corroborate this information because it is sourced from the corporate package of education. We have until Friday last week made an attempt to have this, our colleagues from the corporate department to be present today, but without success. And it is very unfortunate because we go to them, we also went to them to have the coordinator, the national coordinator, who is allocated to the corporate department, to actually go to the SEM to find the information in terms of the detail of the contract that happened between 2011 and 2013, but that have also not gone any further. So it is this report that I'm giving you today to say that this is as far as we have come, and we have at least sufficiently provided the responses to the questions, especially the ones around the contracts that they have at the time. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the response, all the responses. That was the question that was brought before the committee. And like indicated, it was brought forward by Honorable Father Vard. So procedure, Honorable Father Vard, we have heard the response from the department on your petition. Can I then open up to you as the responsible the petition to make comments so that you can take it as a committee?
Chair, thanks for dealing with the petition, I would say thoroughly, and of course as expected, the Limpopo Department would be prominent in ignoring requests, as usual. I mean, even if it was under administration, you wouldn't get anything. But may I just ask Chair, Ms. Lily Kakana, who was the senior manager, and her family, and those alleged friends and family of Mr. Judith Malema who were mentioned in that report, whether they are now blacklisted to do business with government. Because there's a case at the Public Protector 2, which our followers said they couldn't, you know, there's no proof. But there's no proof because nobody could forward documentation from that department. I strongly feel if the senior manager of Poor Nutrition family got that millions and millions of rands of contracts while she was in charge of it, surely that family can't be providing such services to the department or government. And there is a blacklist policy on class and that has been put in place. I think the other issue was the audit of all tenders. I think that's also outstanding. But be it as may, if we then meet with the provincial departments in March, I will raise that matter again, because it's of no use if departments in the provinces just don't take it seriously to respond properly. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'm not defending the department, the DVD now, but if the report says there was no proof of that, I think it responded
directly to the question that you are raising now to say, when you talk of the part of blacklisting, for me, what I would like is, on our kind of advice, that if ever you do have a follow-up meeting, or a question on this, prepare them before, because really, I think I would be really unfair to say they should respond to that, because this is the responsibility getting from the department in over. There were no proof of the connection between the two. So if you now ask of the blacklisting, for me, I think that should be a further question moving forward with the issue of the meeting. And I take you on the last part that you have said, when you are in the meeting, where is the Department of Labor will be there, will be getting the chance to really ask those questions, and you will be there with the responses as to what is the best that is going to happen. But finally, there are things, there are other issues that we can select, and you can respond to that. I'm going to hand over to you, dear.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairperson. I understand the concern and anxiety of some involved in relation to this matter. May I suggest that given the reality that you are going to be meeting with representatives of the council, may the committee itself basically summon the appropriate person to appear before? I don't see any reason why we should not do that. We have the authority to the constitution. They say, matter we should require the accountability and transparency. And indeed, if at all, what the disadvantage of the department is, it has to, in terms of constitutional arrangement of the corporate government, to rely on information that is supplied by the government. It does not have the same authority of oversight and scrutiny that you have as a committee. You are constitutionally entitled to summon any official if you are not satisfied with the information that has been provided. And I see no reason why this committee can indeed audit it. I'm not describing, I'm not directing. I'm saying you might want to fashion it and say, well, if there is an official that's identified who is accountable for that or the manner of that particular information, someone be official to come to the committee. And if he or she does not do so, then basically that's in contempt of basically autonomy and in terms of the rules. I do believe this matter could be dealt with in that way. That's the one possibility, the other possibility. And certainly I would want to encourage that. You know, we have provincial legislatures. And what seems to be the norm is that more occurs on behalf of provinces through the national assembly, not through the national council of provinces, than it would occur within the locus where that particular action is taking place. And there's no reason why such an action we couldn't have a dual process where they could basically ask your members of the legislature also to basically do what you are doing out here, investigating in the province out there, because after all, officials are accountable to that particular legislature. Now, I'm not suggesting that you should surrender or yield this particular responsibility to the official legislature. I say that in addition to the rights and powers that you have, you have similar rights and powers vested in provincial legislatures to do precisely what you are doing. What we do observe in terms of where we are sitting out here, looking at education in general, is that on many occasions, some provinces don't basically fulfill their legislative responsibility adequately in terms of delivering the services, and one should basically encourage them as far as possible. There we would probably say, and that's the third thing, is what extent do we get the National Council of Provinces involved? What was very helpful to me, Chairperson, at the end of the meeting last week in the National Council of Provinces, that you're organizing in Togo and in the Eastern Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal and Eastern Cape, with a joint oversight by both the National Assembly and the NCOP. Very, very interesting, because the questions that were raised there were very, very rich in content, very, very relevant, and very, very sharp. So basically, I see the value in this kind of joint oversight activities, which basically enabled the NCOP to really assist the provincial role much more effectively. And maybe a conversation with your counterpart in the NCOP did other than that. And again, I'm not saying everything's your responsibility. I'm saying that you might want to collaboratively in achieving a particular outcome, because they would be as interested as you are in terms of what is happening in the province. Thank you very much. Yeah, I just thought I'd add to that particular.
Thank you very much, Dan. Can I see the other question?
Raising, as you call it, to finger of the previous command. Indeed, Chair, I think we should summon. I don't say value in the Dean's proposal to legislators, but out of non-compliance or no response as provincial legislators that we come to the National Assembly. And I would really say we should, I mean, an individual was disciplined and removed from a position. There must be some form of help. And then, you know, we will ask those questions from whoever. I think in something an official, they could come and say anything for education from the province.
I would advise the MC for education, because there's no reluctance in the past the MC to come to Parliament at a sensitive service. So you invite the MC if he or she refuses to come to Parliament at a sensitive service.
Thank you very much. We definitely do that moving forward. Honourable Member, that was a different measure. That was something that the measure in front of us. Let me know still say whatever you wanted to comment on the situation which contributes all the responses from the hearing up until now so that we can make the final submission. I think I'm not closing up. I would say one more on the two of the comments of those. Thank you. Thank you so much. We'll do the next that I will close up the event so that we can respond and take it back to the speaker with the necessary recommendations that have just come up with. Meaning that the issue is not yet closed. We are going to continue with whatever other information that the petition itself, we have got the responses and the final response that we needed. Thank you so much. Now let us move to the second item on the agenda. The second and the third quarter report, that is the period that we'll be looking at. And we must always remember that the good of this quarter report is when they give us as Parliament, they give us as a committee, that platform, an opportunity to assess how the department is performing moving forward, and we evaluate even what the department is doing throughout the year. We're having the ECT where we're always, you know, evaluating the department, the program again. And whenever we get the quarterly report, we look again the ECT, we look at the targets that the department can put for itself, then see, and we're able to evaluate if the department is on check. And I think through this quarterly report, it helps us a lot as the portfolio committee again to see, because even on the way the department is, the expenditure patterns, that is when we begin to then say that there are alarms as to say something is not going well, something is going wrong there. That is where we can easily know exactly what is happening, even around the issues of finances. And through this particular report, we are able to assess if the department is on the right track again, towards our long-term plan, like the issues of NDP, and also coupling that with the strategic plan that we have, the 2014-2019 strategic plan. That is how we get to conduct ourselves well. So we are going to meet in the second and the third. Remember, we didn't get time last time to do the second quarterly report. That is that today we have both quarters, the two quarterly reports at the same time. So that is the period that we but we always say at the end, as a committee, as we say, whenever we get these quarterly reports, it does not stop us as a portfolio committee to take question on what is currently happening, because what is currently happening is that it doesn't impact on these quarterly reports under review that we are looking at. So that is how we need to approach our meeting. Yes, we know exactly what is the period under review that we are taking on, but it's not going to stop the members from questioning and knowing and wanting to know what is happening, taking from the first quarter report moving forward. I know the fourth one is coming very soon, but there will be a change that may eventually crossing over to the fourth quarter report, because only members are very interested and they want to know that, because they interpretation is hard. They want to know what is happening moving forward. Can I then hand over to the DM with your team to lead us on the presentation on and I hope we have requested it. Let us have two presentations now. In your one presentation, you indicated that this is where the target, this is how the second is done, and the third, but let us take it as one presentation. We'll see how we structure our questions and our engagement as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. So the session is a very, very good one that we have, one presentation. And then what we come to really gallop with the first, the second quarter, and pay a little more attention to the third quarter, because they are really interlinked, and then I think we would be more interested in the third quarter, and probably even more interested, in the fourth quarter, which is not available yet, but will be coming to the committee soon. And I do also support the view that we can't always talk about the past there. The committee is entitled to raise issues with regard to current matters arising from the report. So we ask them for conditions that may be raised. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Honourable Chair, honourable members, we have indeed taken heed of the concerns around time and how we're going to be managing two quarters, since the program largely didn't allow us to have that opportunity to deal with the second quarter. We have, in fact, designed the presentation in such a way that you can deal at a glance with both quarters for you to see the performance information there. But I don't think it's absolutely necessary to do the formal introductions as to how we have structured the particular report, precisely because I think it's one of the few opportunities that we've had to look at the new design reporting framework, which captures all of the performance indicators of our district for quarters 2 and 3 in the first section in Part A, and in Part B we deal with the financials, and both the second and third quarter expenditure, and we have also captured the presentation somewhat differently in that we added our remedial actions and that will be covered as we go through this particular report. I think you're all familiar that the performance indicators are in support of the annual performance plan and the delivery agreement, especially in outcome one. And we look particularly at the five programs listed on slide 4. In terms of the respective bars that we indicated, just to recap on previous presentations, we have had the opportunity to look at those performance indicators against our performance against those indicators, and the status bars in terms of annual targets would be described as white. Where 50% of the targets have been achieved, that status will be detected as red, and where 50% or more have been realized, it's normally capped in amber, and green will be reflecting when the target has been fully achieved. We need to go straight into Program 1, which is a program that manages departments and provides strategic and admin support services transversely across the various units of departments. In Program 1 on slide 7, you will see the performance reflected there, and as the Dean has pointed out, we are going to be focusing largely on the third quarter, which you can see here, in terms of the number of staff development opportunities, we exceeded the intended target at 15, and we also had, in terms of our number of internships implemented, we see it is being listed as amber. And here, I think just a note for honourable members, would be that in the first quarter in which we were reporting, the fourth quarter report, in the first quarter of the calendar year, we normally see an increase in the number of interns as those young people graduate, so they're taken up in various positions in terms of our commitment to providing on-site and work experience for young graduates. The remainder of those other performance indicators, such as the financial disclosure forms and the signing of performance agreements, all of that have been achieved in quarter one already, and so they're just expected there for the report. With specific highlights under Team Program 1, we look particularly at the number of legislative pieces that are being reviewed and the 9 top instruments, which includes the one dealing with profound intellectual disability policies. In the third quarter, we have dealt with particular grievances. 4 of these grievances have been satisfactorily resolved, and 2 are fully retained. We also report under Program 1 on our communications unit, which sits in the Office of DG. In media liaison, you will see the number of Facebook followers, Twitter account subscribers, and how the browsing of our particular website has been an increase over time. I want to go straight to Program 2, which I'm sure honourable members will be able to reflect some particular details in the question session will follow. In Program 2, we deal particularly with the curriculum, the development of curriculum policy, the monitoring and support of its implementation. On slide 10, here we have on the all of the informal indicators of success, the percentage of qualified public schools with good books, the percentage of grade R practitioners, the percentage of level 6, etc. They're all listed there for us to see as the performance has been marked up. We also have on slide 11 the section there of annual targets. Whether in the first instance, the test for public schools and mathematics workbook from grade 1 to 9, there we have 100% listed as our performance in quarter 3. The number of learners completing Carry Good Air, because this is an annual target, it is declared there's no status bar indicated yet. But just as a note, learners are registered, a pre-registration protocols have been verified. The volunteers have been recruited and are being paid into stipend. Service providers are being managed on a weekly basis, and the material station is delivered to volunteers, etc. has continued in these two projects. There was a later part, as you can see under quarter 2 report, where the classes started in 1st September, which is why the figures will be limited in the final for this reporting period. Also, the potential impact of these, you've already seen the report of the NC. We also have a positive performance under the number of teachers trained in multi-grade teaching, where the numbers, where the classes have been achieved in quarter 2. Just to list some of the items on program 2, we had a library and information services. I think that Honourable Members would have also received support already on the Lead to Me campaign in 2016. This was an initiative of the Minister to promote leading in schools and would have supported communities, installations. It could have also been formal and we've seen evidence of the take-up of this particular campaign in a more concerted effort across the country. In quarter 3, the rollout of the NCA for children from 1st to 4 is underway, and also a draft monitoring instrument as the field tested in ECD settings will be in the photo, and grade R workbooks will be delivered and printed and delivered at schools, and that is at 100%. To also focus on the next slide in terms of inclusive education, cap training sessions are held for intermediate grade and grade 9, 10 people. And get teaching assistance to experience the special training program. The text have been screened and the national catalogue for foundation phase, intermediate phase, and then now the meeting. We also in a significant step taken in terms of the incremental introduction of African managers. In quarter 3, we've seen the foundation phase English caps for second additional languages and the version of English caps into 10 official languages that have been developed. And I think that those are significant milestones that we would like to have acknowledged here. On the next slide, we're also dealing with the various programs in support of the work being done, that diagnostic report in terms of the energy, such improvement plans are being produced, and all of these reports are also form part of the 2015 diagnostic report, which we have circulated to many. I'm just going to gather those directives with Honourable Chair, and I think all of us can come back for particular questions. But also to note that our NXT, the department is monitoring the implementation of the Rights of Poor Invention, and we've also seen that in terms of the remainder of academic year, the success that will be measured in terms of our third month's work into the 2016 calendar year. In terms of ICT, the department also a total of 107 schools in the second quarter, but focused particularly on the space for hosting of the Operation Katisa lab, which ran from September to October 2015. It was an intensive laboratory to develop the department strategy for Operation Katisa. It also saw an intergovernmental participation in the work of Operation Katisa. And what has emerged from that, I'm sure, will also be reported on by my colleagues in that particular branch. The department also distributes a content pack, which contains digital resources for supporting television delivery and at the digital education show. We also saw that under Carrie Goode that we have a training program for blind educators and volunteer educators, which also conducted in quarter 2. And quarter three, the admin the case during this quarter to capture the various volunteer and learner registration processes. Taking now to program three, which deals with the teachers, education, human resources, and institutional development, deals with remote teaching and institutional performance, for effective supply development and utilization of those HR allocation systems. Program three, you see the positive report on in both quarters where we see the class being exceeded for the number of systems of ability being awarded and also for the potential of the ability placed within 6 months of graduation. I'm sure that Dr. Janet today will share more updates. We do know that your assigns are repeated under review, but obviously now this being the first quarter of the new academic year, we can see a more rigorous take-up of the provincial statements and services. The next two projects are both annual, and therefore we can recall and we can note previously in terms of the take-up of new qualified teachers, age 50 and below. Also, let's point out that in terms of the annual target year for this particular indicator, the start of that academic year would normally be viewed more positively in the fourth quarter, the actual response to that annual target. And the academic year would need to consider the new qualified exit of the higher education institution and therefore into the system. In terms of the percentage of principal appointed based on competency assessment processes, and thus far, in terms of this annual product, we can report from the reports we received from the 6 days that they have advertised the principal post during their first quarter and then we'll be able to hear from other clubs also as they posted up in the fourth quarter. In terms of the next three targets as well, the performance indicators, the number of teachers with a self-diagnostic assessment and the percent of issues that meet the minimum criteria. Now the public schools supported by external monitors, the last two are national annual targets, and we also need to just reflect on the fact that in terms of our the self-diagnostic assessment, which is a specific, which I think is also gaining momentum in terms of we will see a more accurate reflection of the performance in the fourth quarter. Just to note the narrative in support of those basic bars. We'll follow on the remaining two three slides. So we expect in program four in terms of planning information and assessment. This is the branch that is responsible for the promotion of quality and effective service delivery through planning, implementation and assessment strategies. These include NSC, NS, etc. And as the first slide 24, the performance indicator here for the annual is an annual one. Here we note the procedural constraints of the annual not having been written, and therefore in terms of this annual target, we would need to in the fourth quarter have to expect on exactly what the implications would actually be by the reporting system. Having as a support indicator that is reliable data on the learner results and the performance in NNT that has already been shared in terms of the fourth of the last week report, and here I think we need to look that this will be reported on in full once the supplementary steps are all of that have been taken up, and we will then see full reports reflecting this particular performance indicator. We have an annual target which has already been reflected here in terms of the target at 99%, and we are looking at this being a spot to watch where the branch will be able to report on further what's being done in terms of the support for sanitation skills. On the next slide, 25, again the percentage of schools with water electricity and the percentage of public schools with use of the school administration management system to manage the electronic capturing of data and the take up of the national learner tracking system. There is a positively indicate the performance at the third quarter as the green stated bar. On slide 26, again, here we can see that the number of officials from districts that have achieved less than 65% in NDC's participation in the program. There we also, in the third quarter, exceeded the annual target, and the remaining two on our annual target, which will be reported in the fourth quarter. tip over the NSC and AMIT, is that the known matter? And the program four, all on slide 58, the financial planning, economic analysis, and provincial budget monitoring, is an important instrument that is used by the national department to provide oversight of how provinces are using their allocation, and also where you can look at the national, the actual work being done at the provincial level in terms of implementing it and checking on that yield to the national norms and standards of school funding policy. We've also made follow-up to the relevant provincial departments on a quarterly basis, and this then reported back at the national level where all of these colleges meet and discuss the particular problems and share their practice as far as possible. This is done both in the second and third quarter, where we have teams within the various provinces to work with it, all for them to come to national and work with us there. Even also as part of this particular program, and here the EMIS team visits all nine provinces to check and to audit the readiness status to implement LURIS as a sector reporting system to replace the annual survey. School finishes are also by the staff, and here we can see the figures listed. In the third quarter, we were monitoring the delivery of furniture to schools by provincial departments, and we can indicate some of what the provinces are planning to deliver, and we have the numbers listed there. The delivery was very slow at the time of monitoring, and the provinces that were further behind were Limpopo and Mpumalanga, and here they were delays attributed to the procurement processes. However, we do have reports that I'm sure colleagues can provide outside of this particular reporting period to update honourable members. Other activities, the replacement of inappropriate schools, 129 schools being completed by the second quarter, and 154 further schools in the third quarter. And now we have also looked at further numbers in the report done in the fourth quarter. The numbers for sanitation, water, and the physical have also been reported. Program 4 also deals matters and aspects of the department's work in the case partnership, where in terms of the NDC, we have a very strong obligation to ensure that we build our data center partnership, and that we also look at partner support, geographical support, and monetary value support, and we have a database of contact persons and details. These partnerships have also grown during this period in quarter 3. Mokete Foundation announced a partnership with us, worked out with the 17 million over the 10 years of football, netball, and school color work, which we see to that the model accepted. In quarter, the policy learning and teaching campaign also sits within this particular branch, and here the reconfiguration of the strategy to train and empower structures, especially in the bush of identified in the Eastern Cape. What the principal partners of those done by the unit. We also see district level planning and implementation support, the branch that deals with that. We've also captured under program 4. This is the branch that is headed by Mr. Breaker, and here we've seen that the ministers quarterly meeting with our district has really resulted in a very strong district culture as important unit of delivery for the national department. We have developed advanced recruitment and selection criteria for competency assessment, which will be used to strengthen the correct appointments of the correct people in the correct role. And we also developed and conducted a survey to track the filling of vacancies in district offices. So this was a particular concern in terms of district effectiveness, and baseline information was collected and used for the competency check to recruit district officials. That was a strong development in quarter 2 to share. And in quarter 3, the instrument conducted survey of school principal ratings was finalized, and a random sample of schools were drawn to report on the survey findings. Also, school level planning and customer relations management through our work done by the call center is managed in that district coordination branch. And we see here that the call center was able to successfully resolve the queries that we received on a quarterly line by the end of December. So there were some outstanding queries as far as our record system in this particular branch. I want to go through the program staff, which is the final program, before I hand over to the people for the financial. In program 5, we deal with educational and enrichment services. And here we look at the health and well-being of learners, and also the support for all of our other social inclusion aspects and social mobilization. The plan was 5400 to reflect the performance against the indicators and target sets. Here we've been able to succeed under the number of education officials participating in various coordinated activities for social cohesion as a communicated ground. And also in terms of the MSNP, we have our colleagues from the MSNP here who will be able to speak in great detail to the performance, where we have kind of support determining the detail that we can provide here, and we received 6 kind of reports in 43, which then gives us that number reflected there. With the receipt of further outstanding reports, we would be able to adjust the figure upwards once we receive the final report. We do not include figures of reports that are not expanded at any point. In program 5, in terms of the narrative, as I said, SNP, we simplified greater detail, but also under to link to this particular program, we also have the deworming program, which is now at an advanced stage under quarter 2, but we've also seen the official launch of the program, and we've also seen the Medical Consult Council have the approval of the donation by the WHO of the tablets required. Was obviously has cost implications in terms of an ongoing sustainability of the program, and that is also now a matter for discussion at the social cluster level, where we also have other departments that are involved in beginning to discuss the implementation of this in an ongoing manner. Then well-being on an overall level, in terms of facing staff are bullying, etc. at school, all of that has been supported through the work of this particular brush in various activities in quarter 3. We also saw, in terms of peer education, how the reconfigured conditional grant has been packaged in terms of supporting the survey for the educators and officials around HIV/AIDS program. And we've also seen that in terms of the particular keeping approach to keeping girls in school, a number of activities listed in combined with also the revision of the draft of the prevention and management of learner pregnancy policy. The World AIDS Day, was commemorated, and the theme which called on learners and educators to take action collectively was used as the mobilizing campaign theme for last year's World AIDS Day. We have a number of plans included to extract from the General Household Survey the figures that we are able to share with you in terms of the number of percentage of female learners attending school who reported being pregnant. We do know that this is a major ongoing challenge for us as a department, and it's the one which is shared with community and system departments, so it's a prime way to actually actively address the concerns there. School safety is also part of this grant of activities, and here I've made reference to the work done in quarter 2 around the management of bullying, which has been partially largely around homophobic and cyberbullying, and this is this report has been the draft strategy has been submitted to the Minister for consideration, and in collaboration with the NECT, a school safety summit was held in quarter 3. At the end of the summit, we had a declaration which promotes peace and safety in schools. Under the social cohesion program, also in school enrichment, we see in the sport campaign, as well as the work of the spelling bee, etc., linked to our learning to read and read campaign. We've also seen that the safety workshops that we conducted in support of our colorized textbooks, these workshops have been run in quarter 3. The spelling bee was conducted in this quarter as well, and the National School Youth Tournament was hosted at UB in the 3rd week of December in quarter 3. And we've also seen our huge success on an international platform with a new course competition, and two of our learners were very successful in topping the learners competing internationally, and I think that really should be celebrated. Our important LGBT outreach program also is the front branch, and the data is very important. course of action. We have, as a result of what we've acknowledged needs to be done in terms of the two reports that we've captured, we have looked at the progress of annual targets, and here you will see that especially around the one where we look at where the area of concern is, where is the area of underperformance, and how we can track progress there. We've looked at the real action and the time frame for completion. So you will see that in every instance that we list today, quarter four is the target is completion of the annual target. And you also see that the programs that we list today in terms of areas of responsibility and the officials that are directly in terms of the performance are accountable for keeping to the particular report when we require that for the fourth quarter. So I'm going to stop the chair. I don't think one is going to more detail around that, but I think that's an important addition that is made as it was for you to note both the concerns around underperformance in terms of the target as well as the remediation that is being reached for each of these steps and in the areas and the branch of responsibility and the officials are held accountable for that purpose. I'm going to pause there now, just for the interest of time, hand over to the CFO for the financial section of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Member. Chair, the financial report is going to be difficult to combine the two quarters because we're going to have too many columns. So what we did, we included both reports. The second quarter and the third quarter, and if there allows of this thing to see the third quarter because it is what is in the second quarter. What we also did when we were in the presentation, we tried to incorporate what the Honorable San was included in terms of how we write amounts. I hope this is acceptable. As we indicated previously, the bulk of the budget for the department goes to transfers, which are commissioner grants transfers, calculated and other transfers. And then the amount that is left for departmental operations is 4.477 billion. And the details are indicated in that slide. And then the next slide shows the expenditure, which is the same. The bulk of the expenditure goes to the transfers, and then the remainder to other expenditures, which is compensation, EMR funds. So this kind of exclusively appropriated that would be for the ABD, and then governmental operations and projects. And then slide 63 shows the expenditure tech program. The percentages, if we take it on a straight line method, we should have done 75%. But the reason why we have higher expenditure on some of the items is how expenditure happens. For instance, conditional grants, they are transferred at a particular time in the financial year. And each unit decides on how the transfers are made for the various conditional grants. Maybe just on the next slide, 64. For instance, what's left in program one, the bulk of the balance will be in terms of the payment for the building that we occupy. And then for program two, 96.27 of the application in this program is for cardboard and web books, as well as the lesson time technology conditional grant. So for web books, the balance for cardboard is set at around September, and the clinical project is mainly on site for volunteer educators. And these are paid as and when the tuition has been provided, hence sometimes it gets paid later. And then for workbook one was completed in September, and then at the time of the report, finishing of workbook two has been completed and delivery was in progress. And then for NFC conditional grant, the transfer of this grant was made as scheduled, except for transfers to three projects, which is three states, Northern Cape and Western Cape, and this was due to low spending in the provinces. And then for program three, it shows high spending. It is due to the transfer to Sundanushaga. So we recall on this one, the bulk of the transfer is made in April, and then we left some amount which transferred in January for which was the last one for registration of the new academic year. And then program four, there was a bit of a delay on the ABD program due to regionalization of schools, and this is impacting on spending trends. Another indicator, however, even though we are showing low spending in this report, if you consider what has been said from January until now, and the invoices that are about to be processed, spending will improve on that. Although there could still be understanding, but there is a huge improvement. And then there's also the cost transfer of EIG to the Eastern Cape province. The cost has been transferred due to low spending in for that province. And then in closer time, the last and final transfer to province for HIV and E conditional grant and the NSNP conditional grant relate in general. So they don't form part of the expenditure under this grant. And on the next slide, we're just showing expenditure in terms of classification. And then maybe just the explanation for the two items that are showing a bit of high expenditure and the low expenditure there. With the services, the spending on the item will increase, although it's a bit high now, but what is left there is mainly for work. Workbook 2 that has been voted, and then unclaimed from provinces that hinted there that has mentioned. I expect that to be received before the end of the financial year, so we are still to receive claims from the provinces. So taking all this into account, the balance will be set in full on that program. And then in terms of transfers and subsidies to public entities, UMAS and NFAS and some conditional grants, the transfers are scheduled to take place in January and February. So that then we spend all the money as well. And then capital assets, this one is the one I explained on our video, that there was no change on this grant, but it has increased after the end of the quarter. So we have included a new slide there which shows progress economic classification and what are the remedial actions that are being taken. For some of the areas, there is actually no remedial action that is required. For instance, on compensation of employees, expenditure is at an acceptable level, and we are monitoring it throughout to ensure that we don't overspend there. And then on goods and services, expenditure is higher than expected. And we're also monitoring expenditure. At the time of the financial year, we monitor it on a daily basis. We normally monitor at particular intervals depending on the report. But at this time of the financial year, we monitor it on a daily basis. And possibly the expenditure is brought to the attention of the relevant units. And it is also discussed at senior management on a weekly basis. So monitoring continues on expenditure. Then on transfers and subsidies, there's no remedial action required. Payment of capital assets. I think the invoices are being collected. As I indicated, that we have quite a substantial amount that has to be processed. And then the process as soon as possible. But here, the Office of the CFO is working with the infrastructure team to ensure that the invoices are processed on time. And then the following slide is just indicating in more detail what I've just explained. And maybe if we can, the one item maybe to initiate on this case is departmental operations. Here we are reflecting a very high over expenditure on the item. But what I want to clarify is that some of the information that was captured here was incorrectly captured. There was expenditure that was for the library and the reading campaign. It was captured against the wrong allocation code. It was corrected in January and February, the transfer process. So this I think is how we will reduce after the turnout was done. So we couldn't change the figures even though we have already finalized, because this is what is reflecting in the report at the time, at the end of December. And then maybe I can go to slide 22. On this site also, information is for all those items. Most of the items that do remedial action require, except for the conditional grant. For the infrastructure, we are dealing with the measures that need to be taken, as I have indicated, and where necessary, the EIG understanding will be helping in terms of DORA, and then all the other actions are really, and there's no remedial action that is required. And then the following, like 73, shows the breakdown of the other EMR funds and the conditional funds. Maybe the one item to report there is maybe, which is overspending, but we are still going through the budget so that we can identify the need to cover that overexpenditure. And all the other items are according to schedule and they will be covered, or they will be sent by the end of the financial year. And then the last one is the transfers to public entities and other transfers. These are just a detail of what I've already explained earlier. Maybe the one thing to add on this page is that all the items that were not paid by UNESCO, ASEAN, Guidance Council, we receive all the invoices. They are in the process of being processed. So in the fourth quarter, we will be showing expenditure on the September. For the ECDC data, the payment there is based on compensation of employees in the government. So we have budgeted a little bit lower than what we have paid this year. So we are also in the process of, we have resignation of treasury, requesting approval to increase this amount so that we can cover the shortfall. And then household, as we indicated previously, this one we got budget for. We can only shift back at the end of the financial year or else go along, because we don't know how many people are going to leave the service for the department, so it's not easy to budget for this one. And we did it in terms of the guidance from National Children. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the presentation, Mr. Chair. Honourable members, let me not see the summary of this. Just to hear the listen to the presentation, the target, how the department is performing, and the challenges that match arise. Can I then open up for the honourable members to select the presentation and any question or any question clarity? Can I start with you, Honourable Davis? So that I don't forget Honorable Davis, Honorable Kota, Honorable Macheke, Honorable Van der Waart, Honorable Batson, Honorable Kota, and then other Davis. That is you, Honorable Davis.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you to the President, Ms. Cotton, for the presentation. I've got a couple of questions. On page 12, it talks about sanitation. 99% of schools have received sanitation. Does that mean that we're nearly at 100% of nearly every school in the country has sanitation? I think we want to be clear about that, because so that's a great achievement. Page 15, you talk about the number of officials from districts that achieve less than 65% in the NSP participating in the mentoring program. I'm just not sure whether that target was met. Maybe it's just the way that the question is worded or that it's worded on the table. It says the annual target is 24 officials achieving less, but it says that 35 officials achieve less than the 65%. But to me, that seems like a negative and not a positive, but maybe I'm confused. If you could just clarify that for me. Then, on the various conditional grants, we looked at the adjusted budget, I think it was in November last year, and if you have some comments, I want to repeat myself or repeat what you said in the presentation. We found an understanding of the HIVA grant, the National School Nutrition Program, the Math, Science and Technology grant, as well as the Education Infrastructure grant. Now, you did mention in terms of the Education Infrastructure grant that it is going to follow up in terms of DORA. Can you just tell us more broadly what has been done to ensure that these four grants that they're not underpending go forward? So just specifically exactly what measures the DBE is taking to prevent future underpending on these four grants. Because if I remember correctly, it came to nearly a quarter of a billion rand in the last budget. And then my final comment, you know, generally if we look at the presentation, you're meeting all of your targets, and it's like a very rosy picture. But when we look at the trick results from last year, we saw dropping the pass rate 5%. Every province dropped in their pass rate 50%. We saw a drop in the performance in maths and science, and unfortunately fewer learners are qualifying for tertiary education and university education. So there seems to be a disjuncture between the performance of your department and the actual reality in terms of the results. So I'd like to know, in your view, perhaps the Deputy Minister can give me his opinion on this. What is the problem here? Is it that the targets being set by the DBE are not ambitious enough? Is it that we are measuring the wrong thing as a department? Or does the problem not lie with the department at all? And if it doesn't lie with the department, then where is the problem in our education system? What is your analysis? What is your assessment? What is your diagnostic of where we're going wrong? If the department is doing such a great job as we see today, what exactly is going wrong then? And maybe on that note, I'd also just like to add, there's not much in the presentation that speaks to the quality of teaching in our schools. We hear a lot about various targets, we hear a lot about infrastructure and the financials, but we hear very little about the quality of teaching in our schools, and I suspect that that is really where the key problem lies. So what's the DBE doing to ensure, for example, that our Kundalushaka graduates are capable of actually teaching at a required level once they place in those schools? What is the department actually doing to make sure they can do what they're required to do? In fact, what in general is the department doing to make sure that teachers across all levels are able to deliver the curriculum in a way that sets our learners up for success? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I want to welcome the report from the member. My question, Chair, is related to slide 24 on sanitation. We are happy that we are at 99%, but there are issues that we feel must be dealt with. I had a meeting with official yesterday from the in Umana. There is a challenge with the waterborne toilets because those areas do not have water. And they are saying that when the new school is to build or they are to build a toilet, there is instruction that they must not deal with two waterborne toilets. But the challenge is those villages where we are building these food services, there is no water. They have recommended something that I've never seen. I said I was going to visit and see. They call them enviroloos. Enviroloos. These are type of the toilets that they are recommending. That if they were to be doing that, it would be fine because they don't have challenges. Since with water from toilets, there are a lot of things. You need a lot of material. Even if you have water, you see there is material that is being in such soil so that they cannot block. Because if you don't educate the learners and also provide some material, it means that in 6 months you will not be able to do it. Secondly, I wanted to check with those provinces that are underperforming. What are the characters? What character is the under or low paying? Because I don't know if the department has got any other plan in place to intervene to assist those officials who are. I think when you understand this underperformance in a workplace, how are we assisting them? Maybe their challenge is to be able to perform their duties. How are you planning to assist? But or for those that have assisted, if they keep on underperforming, what are the best things to get them to make them other condition.
Thank you for the presentation. Mine revolves around the talk about de-weaning the children at school. Apparently, the medical council has approved the World Health donation of the Benzozone tablet. I was wondering what follow-up or checking will be done, because the Benzozone, I understand it, sometimes it does have some side effects to children. Things like throat, lazy, fever, sometimes rash. After seizures, I would request a situation whereby maybe there could be a way of checking if nothing of the sort happens, so that maybe we can look into simple ways of helping our children, like de-weaning by a simple method, which I know they are practically helping. Bananas and lemons, they change in any contact in the stomach. And we encourage our children to at least grow one lemon tree at home, so that they can have them in themselves without having to do the de-weaning and using the tablets. For tablets, sometimes they do have a effect of kidney, etc. I would advise the participation also in the nutritional program to put things like papaya seed on its own. It kills any parasite in the stomach. Now, seed, I know that everybody just told it, but if they use it for just killing the stomach, it kills the worms.
The richness of our program is for dietitian and we can have a lot of material.
Okay, yeah, I assume when we spoke about sanitation that we spoke of any form of sanitation getting to 99%. But what concerns me is we might have sanitation at school at 99%. It is the condition of that sanitation that's problematic in a lot of the provinces. And I think we also have to be a lot more innovative on when we have water issues or hygiene issues, and go and then from some other countries in Africa on how they dealt with that aspect. But I think also there we would need to get a break again on what the percentage of provinces are. We used to get on the report, I think, during October, more or less, the report comes out on sanitation infrastructure per what system, the percentage of each system in each province, not only sanitation is 99%. When you do overflush, you see a lot of bad stuff, and I spoke about it last week. Can I also say the following? I think even if there's a decline this last test on scholar pregnancy, I think it's very concerning. Because it affects a lot of things in life. It's not only you're all pregnant, you go out, have the baby, go back to school. Any of those learners doesn't complete the education, and what happens to them in the family, and of course one goes into the social matters to say, you know, the look after that baby, who is the father, the child, the children, what. But I'm really concerned. I mean, it's a huge implication in total and very concerning. I also just wanted to make a comment, well, I forgot in the earlier round, but I've seen that around finance, we also made a remark on provinces or schools are sort of motivated to use nonsense standards even for furniture. So as I mentioned last week, a lot of provinces actually cut down on their nonsense standards. They can hardly do a toilet paper, I'm not sure how they will do the furniture.
Thank you.
this presentation COVID. Let me just echo just the last message, honorable fundamental that from the presidency. On our visit over 5 days in Turkey, we have noticed that there is a dire need of support staff, especially social workers. For example, just high school nature as a community whereby the high failure rate was caused by absentee children learners who arrive in subject and not come to this one, or first paper or this one, not writing second paper because this learner was pregnant to go to deliver summit or to use words on that day, decided not to come. So in last year when we visited the school they were speaking about this process and the more especially the need of therapy in the process. We have noticed that the process in this case last year promised to that they have advertised so many books for the therapy, etc. But this year we have noticed that nothing has happened, no appointments have been made. Is it possible for the department to go ahead to the program to able to sign up on that area to see that it is there is a movement to assist the school like it could be? Secondly, I have not shown you this page of slide 16 on ICT. That is the resource text that you have given to ECD, GDP, FET are only 240. Is it for the whole country, or is it for one province, or because 250 ICD as a slow movement? On page Slide 20, that is on that is from the Mishata. Yeah, slide 20, never slide 65 is from the Mishata. On slide 20, we see a new power of the Nova Assembly Award on Freedom Shaka. Then my question was, how broad do we advertise this closing? Because I see that the closing of 2017, the closing date was already in 1st October 2015. How broad do we make this awareness or advertising to think that the learner for 2017 should have already submitted their application in 2015? And then my question is, as I say, bring a slide 20 as a slide 65 at this stage, if the battery turnout was so low because of decline of cancellation as learners are cancelled, and the slide 65 we say the high expenditure is concerned that Shara, how do we compare that the turnout or the cancellation decline are caused by cancellation or what, but the expenditure is high? Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on page petition, we really appreciate the reintroduction of the double combination test, because it will solve a lot of problems that are affecting schools in terms of that. But we want to better indicate that could wiser if we target the curriculum that they get the single combo test, so that when examination time comes, the school is not experiencing problems in terms of the furniture. While still on that, we would love to appreciate that services are delivering those services, but in future, if perhaps it can be, it can be classified as which COVID deliver so many, so that we can be in a position to make for us. But we're really worried with the slow provinces in terms of Mpumalanga and Mpumalanga, that they have not yet started delivering. We also appreciate the issue of coming up with a program that will help school to track learners. The SASAM program that is used by school, that we are worried that some of the schools are not using it. Then the question would be, how do you strengthen as this government that each and every school use the program so that we can use for taking of this manner. On teacher development, when we were doing oversight, there was an indication that in one program we tell you that during the course of the years there were no funds for teacher development. But all of a sudden now in general, then they found a day for teacher development, and how do you expect those who are responsible for teacher development to utilize the funds? So maybe translates to say it's just a way of saying for us not to have under spending. Let us have the money, you can book hotels and invite people to come in. So, we made a follow-up in terms of that one. On the contract side, many times schools are experiencing challenges that when they are calling a parent who are supposed to be doing this program, then you find that the parent has changed the program. It's not someone. You are no more you doing the subject that you are recruited for doing. So how do you strengthen that line that no person is allowed to change the course? Then lastly, can I make get an understanding on the design of the MSC schools? On my side, I think I'm understanding it for the special project that we are introducing math, science and technology schools. So if they are post-producing the same as the general trend in terms of allocation. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Good morning. Thanks for the presentation. I think it was quite insightful and very helpful for us to check progress and also to identify the weaknesses. But I can see that the department has tried its best, I think, to even talk to the remedial actions and whether they intend to take what they have started taking in order to tackle some of the system weaknesses. And I just wanted to check on the issue of the ANA. Since when the ANA test were not written, how did the department are going to use, or you know, going to use, or whichever information they collected from those schools that they have written, because I suppose that it's not all the schools that did not write. There are certain schools that wrote ARA, and I think they must be commended for that work, for staying true to their commitment of making sure that the system gets improved, because the intention is to make sure that there are improvements at the end of the day. And I just want to back to all that one. How are we going to get an insight into those buildings, that information that are from the Kutbet Road? I know that it might be a small percentage of schools that I have produced, which is, you know, it's contrary to the target that the department set for themselves. The second point that I would raise to the issue of how also on that area are we accounting for the fast loss, you know, in preparation for the armor assessment and then all the necessary support. Because at the end of the day, whether it's a general audit, there must be a way that we are going to account as a department, because we can't run away from it. The other point was related to Karibude. There is an indication that Karibude allocations were, there was a delay of some sort in terms of giving out the classes were delayed on page 21. In slide 41, it says that the 2015 program was delayed as classes only started in September 2015. And then on the middle action, we see that the indicator will be reported at the end of the financial year or at the end of the fourth quarter. So I want to know, because they already, the other people that were already holding the ball in terms of current budget. The sometimes that we are there, because then if you have employed people to serve, obviously whether the classes continue or not, they have to be paid. The impact of the delay, how did it cost us as a department? And then how many, is it all the provinces that were affected? Or is it, this the report is talking about the whole country? The other point that I wanted to raise will relate to the competency test and making sure that we put the right people in the right position. I just want to check, why is this the Western Cape is the only province that is implementing this policy? Because I would support the Department and Policy ABS, Basic Education, Department of Basic Education. You are the one that sets the policy and the province of the implement. Why are the provinces not implementing that policy? Because even in terms of the remedial action, I don't think that it's sufficient for, it's only for a less. There could be something that is binding that goes to a province. There must be something that tells the provinces that if we don't do this, you know, that has got weight, you know. And then how do we intend to correct this? I don't think that the only and ever will be the best remedial action. I think the department must come up with a better way of enforcing this matter. There's an issue on the number. I know it's not in there, but check with it. If you check there on slide number 38, on the National Strategy on Implementation of Prevention and Management of Bullying, Homophobic and Cyberbullying, I want to check, because the country was experiencing homophobia last year. And most of the people that were also affected by issues of xenophobia, the young people, they were perpetrators, they were victims because they lost relatives or friends. I just wanted to check if the department did not consider to include that component into the areas that you have put in the strategy, because I think it's very important, because like South Africa is now a multi-national, you know, country. Like there are so many people that are coming here to study with our children from different countries. So my proposal is that let us try and put that part of xenophobia as one of the areas that we can teach our children on, so that, you know, it also actually, because we have to exist as a, you know, isolated nation. There's also another point with regard to teenage pregnancy. I have noticed in the statistics that most of the provinces, they have regressed, and teenage pregnancy has increased, even in urban provinces, because I thought that it was going to be a serious problem in rural provinces, maybe impacted upon by transport and other social problems. But you see there in Gauteng, it has gone up. It was 2.2%, now it's 7.8%. You go to the first stage, you go to, I think Limpopo has, even Limpopo, it has gone up. And I just wanted to check, because I thought initially when you introduced the life orientation classes, we were trying to come up with a way, a holistic way of dealing with some of the social problems that we are having. And it becomes worrisome if you see teenage pregnancy increasing. It means that even our young people, our learners, they are now getting more vulnerable to HIV, which is the killer. So I think we need to understand what are the consequences that are surrounding the increase of this HIV teenage pregnancy. I know that we are not reporting on HIV, maybe because of other reasons, but in terms of teenage pregnancy, we are getting an indication that the probabilities are there that it's not only pregnancies, it's also STDs, it's also HIV AIDS. So our youth are more at risk. So President, can I stop there? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Let me also add one few questions. Looking at the credits for the NSC, can we reach your target, so what are you waiting for? The preliminary examination, but sometimes it is good to comment where we need to. If ever my numbers are correct, you will correct me, where we've seen the increase in budget passes in 2015. It shows that there is something that has been done, even the issue of learners, the increase of the national senior certificate, virtually it has been a significant one. But again, I'm raising the point just to say, I fully agree with the target, as you have said, we are going for a shortfall quite certain, but waiting for the supplementary exam, because that's where we get the consolidated, how we have to achieve your target. That is where we can continue and say we have made a decision to reach a target. But looking again at the long-term target for 2019, where you are saying bachelor degree, we are targeting at about 250,000, whereas now we are saying it's about, where are we right now? We are targeting 250, we are at 280. So it shows again that indeed that is a huge, they are highly ambitious, of which is very good, because we always complain, we don't always condemn when we come with low budget. But for us, the community, for you as a department, can say there's so much that you need to do in the media to make sure that you need willing to the target. Because I think at the moment that 250,000 by 2019, but it takes up all those who are here. There's so much that you need to work on so that as the department, as for us, over the thing or oversight over you, we do it to the target. So, for me, I wouldn't say we must lower the target, but to say much to be done from your side, and we believe that such a thing is going to happen. And also, really, we need to commend the department and looking at in the increase on the corporate, on the learners who are passing the learning system down. We do see the difference, the increase when it comes to that. But while you're talking to that, there is a huge concern that I have. If we still have provinces where the grants for the learning system are underutilized, if I can say, those are the areas that are problematic in the system. How come the US provinces who are not taking the rest, who are not utilizing the funds to their full potential? It is a concern at the end that we attend the proper committee. So when you can make sure that you come closer to those provinces, make sure that those grants are being utilized so that you see great improvement when it comes to it. Yes, we might look at the price of the committee, but really it means that we could have even done better if ever everyone was putting up and saying, let's utilize every resource that is at our disposal so that we make sure that we achieve a good result at the end of the year. I want to have mention the issues of ICT. I know I'm still going to make an announcement of a little bit of the program change on next week, but next week we are going to get a lot of tests of patients to look at issues of ICT. Where are we as a department? What is our component doing moving forward to that? But we need to discuss the issues of ICT and what the solutions to be given. And how it's asking that. But still on the issues of ICT. I'm very much happy when we are going to be getting the report from the department saying most of the schools are using like the percentage of some schools that use the school administration and management system electronically to provide data to the national taking of an agenda system. We are still with 95%, meaning that indeed there is a great improvement when it comes to that. But for me, it raises so many questions again. All the responses and the calls that you get from the department, where we cannot instantly get the data from the problem. Just to say, where then do we experience the problem? Let me make for an example. We are having a problem with the problem where teacher problem is a problem. They do have the resources at their disposal. They are the problem that the DBE has provided, but if ever in one area when it comes to the electrical use and the use of ICT, we can do better. Is it on the basis of where we find the other areas the provinces are not moving? Once again. So we need to look at that again. We need to identify the way that the person we are getting from the provinces so that at this stage when we get the report, we are sure of what we are getting and we can try to what we are doing. Then, on the introduction of African languages, again, from the report that you are getting, USDE has done a lot, the material has been produced, it has been used in schools, but for me, we did not get a really proper report to say how far are we, what is really happening when it comes to the implementation of that report, what is happening in the school level, are there any challenges, are we seeing this policy coming out of fruition, are we reaching the learners out there in those schools where we are educating these African languages, like communicating if ever we can be a thing from that time. Again, on the first quarter report, one of the things that came up sharply was the rate of absenteeism in schools, even on the diet of the educators. We requested as a committee, when we come into the second and fourth quarter report, if we can get a breakdown so that you can see and that we can zoom into the problems and say, where are we experiencing the problem? Unfortunately, we did not get that one. Maybe you just have the reasons why we did not get it. But moving forward, I'm really, that's one of the things where we say, when we emphasize on the conduct of triple C, once you get a high rate of absence in India, not only what we are all expecting, we'll appreciate it in the future if ever we can get the kind of report coming up to the committee. I was talking about the chapter on slide 34, when we are talking on the issues of school nutrition program. The target that the department is set in Constitution 34 of 2000, slide 34, yeah, on program 5. The target there is called the number of schools that provide nutrition schools. Then you go, you zoom to the provinces. But those provinces, like on the second court, as you said, there were only 5 provinces that have signed their report. But the number is less than 0.493. Same thing with the first court that order, where only 6, the usual report balance of 3 provinces, and the number has gone up to 18. The annual target, if ever maybe I can get what is the annual target of the learner that needs to be covered, so that we can work it against those provinces that are not yet covered, to see if ever we are in any way going to reach those targets, the annual target that you are seeing. But again, I think we need again to make sure that UDBE find ways and means of letting our provinces to report. That is very much an aspect of if it's like that. We know the way sometimes you see your bench go down to the provinces, but these are the point, it's a point that you need to emphasize now and again. We're not getting a clear picture of what is happening down there. If ever there are provinces that will continuously not giving up the report, this is the area of concern of which I'm believing that you come closer to the provinces to ensure that we do get them to find the calls that you need. I'm just moving towards the end. The issue of learner planning, I think it has been well touched by the honourable members. We all have a concern, but again, we're always saying the issue of learner planning is not the issue we need here though. Can we have progress? Can we have learning where you are saying that together with other systems again? This is how we get to face this challenge, to manage the challenges that you are facing, because we all need that, we all know that we as departments, you as DBC, we are never going to make sure that you take the challenges as they are. But we encourage you to have contacted about the programs together with the staff departments to make sure that we tackle the issue, because we see the issue and it's killing our problem. It's killing our nation as it comes like this. The low standing when it comes to the issues of intervention are more efficient than the active. Yes, as a committee, we are concerned. But at the same time, what we are believing is that we see that the issue of rationalization. For me, it's a good move when we see this understanding with the motivation yesterday. We cannot say that having not finalized the issue of rationalization, but we believe as a nation, waiting for some of these rules to be rationalized. So the main point that we are emphasizing as a committee today is that let us see that the issue of rationalization. We know it's one thing that can never say we've done enough. Now that there's a shift movement, people moving to the urban areas and so forth, but what is there in front of us to try and finalize it? It is of great concern for the organization. So we know in the state there's what challenges of infrastructure, but at the same time, it's for the first time that I would say, if ever they can find the topic and finalize it, it's well good because it's one of the provinces who sees number of small schools, but let us assist the province to make sure that they do it well, they continue to rationalize and finalize it so that you can see these money being spent correctly to the benefit of them and family. The CFO has touched on the issue of finance, but looking most of the time, looking at the aging reports and the comments that they always come up with, they always cite the deficiencies when it comes to the issue of supply chain management. We can check again if we can get your report on how are you managing to keep abreast with the recommendations that the AG is holding coming up with. We are heading towards the end of the financial year. These are the things that we'll be looking at, how are we spending, so just tell us how are you working around those issues that are only being raised when it comes to the department. Are you finding any way, are you improving moving forward? Let me stop there on our DM and allow you to respond on everything that Honourable Members have raised. Then we open up for the second bite on the follow-up after we respond. Over to you, DM.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and to the team on the member for your very insightful comments and questions that have been put. Chairperson, I'm going to try to move from the end, so Mr. Davis might take exception to the fact that he asked first, but I hope if I could work with questions that you've asked and go up, so that I deal with all the issues that have been raised, many, some of which overlap, and I thought it would be very, very helpful. The only one that I'm not going to deal with is your last question that I'm going to ask the CEO to deal with, and that is with regard to the agent's report. I think she's well paid and well qualified to be able to answer that as a finance much more clearly and meticulously than I am. Chairperson, the issue of infrastructure that you raised in combination with the realities of mergers, rationalizations, and closures are very, very important issues that come across us. I think it's important for us to understand that some 2 years, a little less than 2 years ago, there was an extremely huge lull in the infrastructure development with regard to the MEA program. You might have collected, we have basically briefed this committee, and I might add that we took the necessary steps of ensuring that the Ministry, the Deputy Minister for Basic Education, the Deputy Minister of Finance, who subsequently became the Minister of Finance, and who is no longer with us, the Deputy Minister of Justice, who is now the Deputy Minister of Local Government, met with the service providers, the finance agents, and the contractors to ensure that we push it. And quite interestingly, as a result of that intervention, and we were really hands-on in this particular matter, we developed capacity within the department, ensure that we get regular support. We were able to, on average, provide or deliver a typically output per week. We are now exceeding 137 schools, but there has been a pause, a lull again, which we are very, very concerned about, as concerned as you are, and we're basically dealing with that. But part of the concern is the reality of migration and the reality of what you call non-viable schools. If you go to the Eastern Cape, there are hundreds, not tens, but hundreds of schools that are non-viable, that should be merged, some of them should be closed, and if you look at what those who contributed to districts such as Ebole, you see the most critical schools developed for some 700 learners and now only occupied by about 360 learners. Think about two schools with that resource. So it's more useful. There is also the reality of migration, and particularly to areas such as Cape Town, Gauteng in particular, the province that you entered as a city itself. And then itself. And then you have your internal migration from your rural areas to your towns and your cities. Now, the scope of that challenge is so huge. Let me give you an example. Just some 2 weeks ago, the ministry, working with the Department of Basic Education, met all stakeholders, school governing body associations, SLs, principals associations, governing bodies in the sector schools. There were 4,000 grade 1 learners that have participated. There were 3,000 grade 8 learners that had not been trained. And we had to basically deal with that then, because we were fortunately able to all come to heaven as a result of that. And the question that comes, so this is what Mr. Davis says, that I asked about the provision of revenue. Where a problem is in undertaking this assessment in terms of rationalization and merging, and cannot spend that resources in any, even the preliminary work, why should we not, when we are absolutely certain that Gauteng or the Western Cape or Durban has the capacity, has the actual need, which will not diminish in the short time, be able to move those funds to those particular areas? And that is what we're looking at very, very closely. Because we can't send back the armed soldiers and say, let's wait for them to finalize the process there, there are areas. So take the Western Cape, for example. You go to Atlanta. The AD program is, there are two beautiful community art private schools.
and these ones established the school, one was in 1925 and one was in 1926. They wait for decades for it could be provided. And had it not been for this intervention, Atlantis would have these two beautiful state-of-the-art schools in very phenomenal success. But if you go to Hedelberg, go to Bellau, we've delivered already 15 schools in the Western state. And I don't see why we should even deliver more. If that is the need, I'm going to put that to the state. Where is it in the West State? Where is it in Kaplan and anywhere else? Because education is really a universal issue where we've got to consider the needs of the children. So what I'm saying to you is indeed that it's a very, very firm handle by the ministry with regard to infrastructure delivery on a very rational and well-designed basis. Because we just don't want to do it because we've got money and we've got to spend it. We've got to do it in a very, very serious way. And already I can assure you that this is discussion with Treasury, with Deputy Minister of Finance, with Director General, to say we're going to have a serious conversation with regard to utilization of infrastructure resources so that we can address in a very intelligent, smart way the demand that we have. So we can celebrate the incredible progress that we've made. I mean, to be able to do an average in school a week, and then these aren't ordinary schools, these are basically our schools. It's quite incredible. But the challenges are so huge that we can't afford any delays. And therefore we've got to work hard. And thank you for being so forthright and honest about the matter, because I would have raised it even if you did not raise it, to say this is a challenge and we can't only celebrate our successes, we also have to reflect on our challenges. With regard to Kenya's presidency, and yes, you've raised it, and so has Mr. Potter raised the matter, it's a matter of concern. Because as she correctly points out, it's not only about denying children the opportunity to complete school, it doesn't contribute directly, it does not only contribute directly to school dropouts and retention of learners, but it's also creating a learner deficit. Now for that reason, if you look at the department, I think you can be very proud of the hard work that we have done in terms of HIV and AIDS. I think we're the only department that has been able to develop and get HIV initiatives which is aligned with the National Action Plan of the Department of Health and Services, HIV AIDS, through massive consultation, which pays particular attention to sexually transmitted diseases, to the risk of teenage pregnancy, and kind of advocacy that would be necessary. That's in terms of HIV and AIDS, as well as TB on the one hand. This is your life skills, and this is one of the very strong recommendations I'm glad that the Council raises the issue about life orientation. What it says is that are we paying sufficient attention to sexual education in our life orientation? What do we have to do differently and better in terms of empowering our educators to be able to facilitate learning? Because these are generally regarded as methods that are taboo, teachers feel uncomfortable about it, and rather than addressing the problem, they don't address it. It also speaks about the availability, and I'm not going to open up a discussion for this, and if you don't do so now, we have a separate discussion about comments and places where indeed there is a need and where there is appropriate support for that particular purpose, and the necessity to have social mobilization around this particular issue. It's a worthwhile report to look at what the education department has done, but I think the answer lies on a range of things. It lies on education first and advocacy. It lies on providing alternative opportunities for learners in terms of extra and co-curricular activities, resources, assessments, so forth. So how do we say that? Promoting academic excellence depends highly on the kind of motivation that you could have from society. And I certainly like what the president has done over the weekend when you address a huge community of learners in inter-Western and so. It's important because I know your parents won't want to speak about it. But I'm telling you, boys, sex is not good for you and not good for our girls. Very, very rare. And I think that's the kind of message that must come from the highest office of the country, say, this is what every public representative must make sure that becomes their mantra, and it's very critical that we do so. So thank you for raising the issues of teenage pregnancy. Your issue about nutrition, in terms of numbers, we see more than 9.2 million learners. That's inherited. Quite remarkable in 1,000, given the fact that not very long ago, would be something like 7 or 8 years ago, we were doing only about 2.6 or 2.7 million. At some stage, you might recall it was 3 days in a week, it was only in private school, in primary school, it did not include the high school, and we were able to expand the program. And we can say notwithstanding the challenges that we've done, we must be a wealthy nation to be able to feed more than 1.2 million learners today. And I think what you are saying to us is this, that don't only give us the numbers of schools, give us the numbers of learners who are the beneficiaries of the program, and give us the numbers within provinces so that we understand which province is providing better opportunity and support. And you know, at times, challenges can be translated into huge successes. Eastern Cape's entire nutrition program, you might recollect, no longer ago, it's before intervention. It has one of the better functioning nutrition programs because communities are empowered. They're taught the values of health, nutrition, quality of food, preparation. They provided utensils, the educational element, the teaching element, and the community involvement in the provision. And we're gradually building kitchens so the preparation areas are adequate and appropriate. And I think if we keep a handle on it, it's important that we recognize its value. So when Mr. Macheke itself quite rightly speaks about the value of papaya and lemon, for example, in terms of nutrition, why do we plant lemon cheese? Because these are very robust, strong cheese in our food items, so that we can make that available to our learners. Our learners are like augment what the nutrition that we provide to our learners, but also to contribute as a national resource for these workers. So that takes care of that particular issue. That issue absenteeism, I would like to link that to what you've raised and one of the other members have raised. I think it's with the corner. With regard to the importance of the SSS. Now the SSS has become a very critical and important platform for us in acquiring information. However, given where we are in the 21st century, we are of the view that it has become a place. And it could do many things, including biometrics. Monitoring access, absenteeism, doing your learner profiles much more efficiently, and getting information in real time. Now, if we have the IDP and indeed we have reached out, you know, the Eastern Cape some 5 years ago had less than 32% of the schools linked to IDP for administration purposes. So they are now at about 92%, if I'm not mistaken. And it's a remarkable process. It's a question of how we build on it in order to ensure that it will move in that way. We have a strong view that the web-based solution is the solution to go through because you do many things at the same time. Get information, like you say, in real time. You don't have to go and send officials out there. Everything is basically open and interactive. And you can basically say, well, Mr. Sandoval, this to me. If I have a problem in the school, I can basically go directly to the school from my office over there and engage with whichever official we have to do. You know, we have to engage with, so we can give you the response in real time. That's the ideal that we move towards, and indeed, this is what we tend to do, because what is discovered, and this also responds to what the data is saying, is that problems and industries that are data-driven are doing that. So if you take, for example, in South Africa, the top four province districts in the country, not in the Western Cape, but best performing province, in South Africa. But if you take each one of those districts, you would find that they were this data driven to the extent that they were able to tell what the performance of every learner in every subject in every grade is. They were able to make the analysis, do the necessary intervention, and have the remedial work that's carried out by the district directors who have that data. Now the Western Cape and South Cape are foremost in terms of data driven approaches. And the difference between the two provinces in terms of achievement is so insignificant that I wouldn't basically say hurrah to the Western Cape and down to South Cape. I would say hurrah to both the provinces because they both are extremely well. South Cape contributed 15,000 more bachelor's partners than the Western Cape. It says a lot. South Cape is much more diverse in marketing world than the Western Cape. You get this point of example, when you say you go to Hotel, it's every kind of language. So when they achieve, you know, they will achieve, they say the difference between the two provinces was 0.02%. But even if it was 5%, I would say well done to Hotel. Given the reality of migration, given the reality of enormous challenges that it faces, I really believe, and the minister really believes, and I think our committee accepts that in our portfolio, this is our portfolio committee, we've always looked at education as something that belongs to all of us. So when Western Cape does well, we celebrate. When it doesn't well, we are interested. So if we say, you know, oh, for political purposes, we've gained, and we'll say, what happened last? ask you for number four. They didn't put us in the number four. Did we say something recently? We said, no, you could work hard. And we celebrated this. And we celebrated the pre-check and the G-post object and the Wednesday, or the Northwest for that matter. And I really think it's a question of saying, well, how do we share with each other? But the reality on the ground, this is the value and success of our teaching system. Is that whether you are in the Fountain or whether you're in the Western Cape or the Tongala, just to the directors that begin sharing information, they become a professional outfit where they learn from each other. Because that practice from one part of one district and transfer it to the other district, and there is this empowerment and enrichment that is taking place in a very, very significant way. So what I say to you basically, is that the numbers indeed indicate to us that we have more than 52,000 students in advance. It's a wonderful achievement. We've increased classes numerically by more than 10,000 and 15,000 in mathematics science. It's a wonderful achievement. We are moving in the right direction, but we have to do much more. And there's a reality that we've got to reflect on. Last, our progress learners have basically affected the results. If there were no progress learners, then improvement across the country would have been 4.1%. Which means that the 65,000 learners were not given a chance to write an examination which they would otherwise have not been able to write, has in a sense impacted on the achievement of the learners. But 32,000 of them passed. And in the Northwest, 29% of them passed. And they could be more than 2,000 students. And more than 4,000, I think, they acquired a bachelor's pass. So you've got, through an opportunity that you create this wonderful, this wonderful situation. The question then is, what do we do? I think we've got to support our progress learning. There has to be the reciprocal responsibility that we've imposed in terms of ensuring that they attend school, that they perform, they do there's a common task assessment, that the parents and the caregivers take responsibility for their attendance, and they require at least a minimum before they consider the examination. That would be something that we've got to do, and districts must support those learners for that. The question that is being asked from a policy perspective and from an analysis perspective is, do we distinguish between your progress learners and your non-progress learners? Not on a discriminatory basis, not for basis of public, to say, that you can identify a learner as a progress learner, but internally to be able to assess what is the impact of progress learners. In other words, what are we doing wrong, what are we doing better, are we improving, are we intervening, and do we bifurcate, or do we not? It's a discussion and a reflection that should take place, and we've started discussions in the Council of Education Ministers meeting, and something that we hope to finalize. But the principle of providing opportunity and support is critical and necessary, and we do believe that one of the things that is going to contribute very positively to the overall outcome of our education system is our very bold and decisive decision to introduce technical mathematics and technical science in our schools and to provide opportunities for a vocational stream this year and an occupational and vocational stream next year. I think it's going to be a magic. But it's going to say to us, not everybody wants to go into the academic system. Not everybody wants to go to university. They don't want to intermediate our personal field and create that opportunity for them in our school, where not recognizing that the teachers are also playing a particular role in that regard. Now, with regard to the issue of African languages, I think it's an important celebration. It's an important celebration because we have the clarity of our language. It's about social cohesion. It's also about promoting an awareness. This occurred in about 4,500 plus schools, where only English and Afrikaans are being taught and not an indigenous African language. So they're not 3,500 schools. We have not received any complaints at this point in time. I think we will be able to assess after the first quarter of this year to say what are the problems and prevent them share, providing with an impact. These are the challenges that have emerged. We provided all the materials and so forth, the training has occurred. It's a question of how it's working on the ground. And I think in the first 2-3 weeks, it's a bit too early to assess what the situation is. But I can assure you that we will provide the portfolio committee with a report. Now, with regard to ICT that you raised, and I'm sorry I've been selective, but these are important issues that we're raising. I'm going to try to be a little quicker.
I thought in particular initiative was an important one. It brought all stakeholders, private and public, together. It was the cross ministries of telecommunication, the postal and telecommunications were together, communications was there, science and the public were there, the third launched by education, and the presidency with the support of treasury. They completed that report. They developing the plan, as it were. And the minister has appointed a ministerial task team to guide this particular process. And what we are saying is that we cannot have a place between certain cities in terms of universal. We're going to provide a system that the program must be broadcast, must be seen, and we must basically prepare have resources. The PISA program basically looks at different areas. It looks at connectivity as threat to critical and key elements, and also recognize that you can't have one size fits all. With broadband is available as in the Western States, as in Gauteng, you must use make optimum use of it, but where in certain deep rural areas in KwaZulu-Natal, we can take not available because we can alternative satellite, etc. But we cannot stop the process, or we cannot hold back to those provinces or those districts or those areas which are rural by nature simply because they don't have broadband. We can't wait for the fiber. We've got to immediately implement opportunities so that we can have universal access to ICT. We are also looking at the costing in terms of how we provide the arguing for zero rating of ICT. And we are saying that the devices are perhaps the least important because it's your connectivity, it's your cost. The devices basically, you don't even need a budget for it. What you say is in the textbook, you can basically spend on the device. So that's the point. But what is the story? The good news story is we've got our entire internet content on digitized. The good news story is that we have more than 200 readers already digitized. The good news story is that there's e-libraries that are becoming a reality across history. The good news is that we have websites and technology books that are digitized. There's 10, 11, 12, there's 4, 5, 6, and we've got 94 editions of text to those particular areas for intermediate to senior kids. We are working very, very hard towards ensuring that all our books, textbooks, and all our resources are digitized, but not later than the next year. Now, what a wonderful issue. Vodafone, for example, has, in collaboration with the Department of Basic Education, provided a website or a site, which is a platform, a cloud, for mathematics science, they're going to other areas, languages, etc., for grade 11 and 12, and they're going to the senior basis. The teacher support. And the agreement is that if you download that itself, it is free of charge, mahalo. And they've agreed with us so that if we complete our cloud, and our cloud is basically our archive of education resources is being provided, that we could actually take advantage of that, and we can have the data free of charge. So the reality of being able to access all information and data, interactive, voice over, from its cloud, free of charge, to every citizen in this country, is not a remote reality. It's almost there. By being creative user partnerships with service providers. Special in Ghana, for example, has helped us with the digitization of many, many texts. Mixed and UNESCO has basically allowed us to use handphones, not only a smartphone, basically download the curriculum, with Tesla, with past places, 200 readers. Wonderful. And it uses different languages. So I think huge progress has been made, and it's not like we are not aware of the digital revolution we are, but it's going to work very, very hard. Your MSP, and I mean, that comes from Mr. Davis, comes from our famous Mr. Lebaugh, and I think support that. Previously, the MSP was a dedicated fund, only for the Dinalese schools. Remember, it was 50 and then it was 200, 300, 500. And we realized that medicine science is so critical that you can't only confine it to schools, that you could basically make it broader, and that's why we had this medicine science foundation in Zalem, the textbooks are made available to all the provinces. They can use that particular resource for the printing of those resources, providing you a charge to the schools over there, the training of your teachers, the opportunity, the multiple opportunities that you speak about chairperson in terms of promoting medicine science. Can be utilizing those resources. So what is that? In the consultation session, to say, rather than the limited scope of MSC resources to the science of the school, you can extend it as long as it's in the area of mathematics and technology. Now, given that reality, it is not acceptable that promises are still to stand. And you know, we can worry, because when a Western case is already scared, because it's sure, and they are generally very efficient, but it's efficient now, why is it not happening? And I can think of exactly this why it's not happening. Because the tools where mathematics is being taught, seriously, are they totally advanced? I've been to one of the valleys, some 200 on the way to Johannesburg. I went to two schools. Both of them perform at about 95%. One is talking something, one is talking African. And excellent. How many of them did mathematics in science? Less than 18%. How many of them passed mathematics in science? Less than half. So are we basically saying that the available better opportunities for those learners in historically African colored areas? I don't know. But it's not really a problem of the Western case. Go down our way to talk about saving from another. A similar reality. So schools are not great enough, and I think that's where it's really going to move and push them out to ensure that we promote mathematics in science and any subject in a very, very serious way. I think here, so I have dealt sufficiently with yours, and I think now we go to other contributions that have been made. I just want to get my notes ready to see Ms. Mokodo. I'm glad you raised issues of now. Now, South Africa has been quite unique. We're the only country that has done ENA at the scale and scope that we've done. You know, last year we're going to do some 9 million. What's really very, very important, that notwithstanding the fact that there was a dispute with the union regarding the rising of the ENA, we've had some 3%, that is the last time, probably more than 3% now, probably 3-5%, or maybe 2-3-5-10%. So let's take it at its lowest, conservatively 3%. 3% of 9 million is 1.8 million. That's a huge sample for us to do an analysis to find out what has gone wrong. And that analysis we will do. And we will provide to the provinces and the districts to ensure that they have a sense of what difficulties were among those learners, 1.8 million learners that have written here. I think it's an important point that we make, and certainly I can give you a commitment on behalf of the ministry that that would be our instruction, that we're not going to pretend that ANA is not going to pretend. Because I think we have a responsibility to those schools in particular who have taken these issues to write the ANA because they see value and they can utilize as an instrument for remediation and otherwise. But beyond that, we have to come to terms, and in fact the ministry has been sitting in the conversation with our department about this particular matter, and we've raised with our police as well as the provinces. We can't finalize ENA in terms of frequency and in terms of scope and in terms of content at the end of the year. We've got to do that immediately. So that we know we're going to do it at 3, 6, and 9. Within the next 6 weeks, we must have a decision regarding that. We will consult with our union. We must be on the same foot, and we know this is what we're going to do, this is when we're going to do it, and this is the frequency that we're going to do. Because there is no disagreement. There is, I can say, under the rules, there is no disagreement in terms of the value of the ANA. It is about its frequency, it's about the scaffolding, etc., and its cognitive demand, etc., etc. And we want to make sure that those things are right, and I do believe we have capacity. What we've learned in terms of the physical application is quite important. What we see is how districts utilize the ENA to assess the performance of learners in schools. The literacy and numeracy has been brought to the center as a result of that. So the value and the benefits of ENA cannot be contested, cannot be disputed. And indeed, what we were able to see in the provinces is quite a remarkable process, a process that's been made in schools as a result of intervention in ENA. In mathematics, for example, we knew where the problems were in terms of fractions, we knew that multiplication was easier than division, and we knew that there were some pedagogical elements coming on in the foundation phase. Same applies to the intermediate phase. And last year, we were going to do the 7th and 8th anniversary to find out in high school, before the learners go 8th and 9th, so before they go to the 10th and 8th, what is it that what is the challenge there? And that's what Emma would have revealed to us. We've urged schools to basically do that, but we didn't want to create the action. We are concerned about the use and spending the money in the proposal, or the money popular being spent, but we know that the department has done whatever it could in terms of trying to persuade, motivate the stakeholders to make sure they form part of the process. So there was no unwillingness or reluctance on part of the department at this step. Things turned out that we are here, and I don't think we should be
spinning out here. You have to reach out and ask, say, how can we work together to build a education system? With regard to the issue of xenophobia, I'm glad you raised this matter, because what we're doing this year is we are celebrating some remarkable historical events. It's 20 years of the Constitution that we've adopted in 1993. Our children must become aware of the value of adopted. Now, if you see what's happening at our universities, if you see what's happening around us in terms of intolerance and on the basis of language, in the basis of race, then it's important that we embrace this constitutional value. And amongst those values that, you know, underpin our constitutional equality and human dignity and freedom, those are three principal values. And if you think of equality across itself, you know, there cannot be discrimination on the basis of national origin. It's part of the constitutionally guaranteed values, and that must be transmitted. We have, and I shared this with you, shared this in the committee, you know, somebody said a benefit of this. I'll give you a good example of it. We have what we call the Moot Courts, working in collaboration with the Department of Justice and the University of Victoria, and the Department of Basic Education, magistrates, and legal professionals get together to train our learners. Our schools, our winners of the Moot Court that's going on for 5 years, perform yesterday. Who educates the final? The Constitutional Court, just a certain education of the youngsters. So the final argument the case is there. And what happened this year? They won the international competition in the big United States. And what is it that we've got to do? That this year's topic in my opinion must be about race, must be about language, must be about freedom of expression. So that our youth can start grappling with these real constitutional problems. Not in a hostile way, but in a way of finding social cohesion and understanding. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity. So what we are saying is Makoto would be a reality in terms of what we're going to do. I've discussed issues of teenage pregnancy, and I hope I have spoken about Anna Takure. There was delay in it, but the Takure is quite extraordinary because it provides empowerment opportunities for some 40,000 young people, mainly young women, who act as volunteers, and their work is not, they are not permanent employees, they get the title for the work that they do. So the stipends are paid as and when they teach. But I think that they should be much more efficient in terms of the management of that particular program, so that we don't have delays, because the delay means that we wait that much longer for us to eradicate their literacy and numeracy. We then proceed to Mr. Koga. Mr. Koga, the MSc, I think, Med Science and Technology, I've dealt with in terms of the important point that you made. But I thought the issue of political charter that you raised was an important issue, to the extent that the department has already made the intervention. They've already spoken to the Dean for Education to say that they cannot, without our authority and consent, allow a student who is enrolled for foundation in the foundation team, now somebody decides to go to the intermediate, or for those who decided to basically specialize in American science, to simply switch on to social sciences. Because it goes against what we want to be provided with it. So it's a reality in the system, conversations are already taking place, and there is an agreement. So thank you for raising this important issue out here. The fact that you speak about is an important one. I mean, you can't have people simply spending for sake of spending simply because there's money on the planet. I think the most important area for development, especially development, our system of education will not change unless we put particular attention to it. What we can celebrate is that we have 142 teacher resource centers now. These are connected. They are wonderful resources for our educators. We don't have to travel 200 kilometers to get that there. And we have all the data that they require over there. We have trained people who are managing those particular institutions. So I think much more can be done, and I think in terms of that there. The tracking of the learners, I've spoken about where we want to go with the platform that we have in terms of every camp, and I think that could help. Now, with regard to furniture, and more than one member has spoken about it, let's accept that it's a huge challenge.
not pretend that we don't understand the challenge. Let's recognize that the Department of Basic Education just in the last year has provided more than 85,000 minutes of permission through the national system. And that there's more than 355,000 units that have been procured by the National Department, mainly through environmental affairs, where the most efficient government that you speak about are heavy, solid debt. Many sections out of any machine that we cut down. Creates wonderful employment opportunities for thousands of people, and those debts are so heavy you can't escape. So once you're in the classroom, it will take about 2 people to move the top. And that's the kind of question that we require, durable, and so forth. So the double desk work, but also the reality of the single desk or chips would be something that we would have to look at. And what we can say, we can't only talk about the purple and we have a problem in the Eastern Cape, and we have a dedicated team of 12 people who are assisting the Eastern Cape in terms of managing that particular process. So it's not like we just have 8 minutes of it, we have 12 people who are dedicated to task to ensure the Eastern Cape receives its version. Machete has talked about the D-World program. You know, we have a very competent official in the name of Dr. Faith Marlowe, who basically is a medical doctor by profession and has worked very, very closely with the World Health Organization and everybody else. And she and her team have ensured that the deworming program takes place and should be compliant with international standards, and they've gone through a great, great deal to ensure that this program is just run formally by the Mr. Lardy University. You can't have nutrition on the one hand and you have the problem of deworming that is not addressed. You have to have a balance, and I can assure you, your company with sound educational development and oversight and monitoring in schools, because we are aware, like every other medication, it's simply too heavy side effect. So the use of the medication can't take place in an uncontrolled environment. It must be in a controlled environment, and that indeed is the assurance that you can give. However, her view about lemon juice and bananas, I love lemon juice, and I love bananas too. Many people call us monkeys, so that's why we like bananas, but that's good as it may. I think that's condition in her program. But I think very, very useful general comment. Mr. Korda has spoken about the toilet. And I'm going to raise the issue of sanitation, because sanitation, in terms of its target, is what do we wish to do within a financial year? It doesn't mean that we eliminate the problem. And we have to distinguish, as Mr. Sandoval says, between waterborne systems and environmental alternatives. Because you correct me, if you go to a place, you start a school, there's no water at the village, you see, the immediate vicinity of the school, how are you going to get water to the school? Similarly, with electricity, at times you want to go to school, but there's no natural supply to that particular village, right, where the school is located. So how do you basically provide this? And villages would say, we're not going to allow you to have electricity to this school unless you make sure that we have electricity. And the same would apply to water. And I think that we learned a lot about collaboration with local government in relation to your achieved schools. And that's some part of the delay in the Achille, was the result of the cost services that have to be provided. But the answer lies in alternatives rather than having a standard system of waterborne as a preferred system. Let's accept it as a preferred system, and if it's possible, it should be provided. But in the absence, we've got to look at other alternatives regarding that day. So, Mr. Storm, let's see, I'm trying to get this in. Support staff, very, very critical. Absenteeism, I've linked it with the website over here. You know, I cannot but support you. That you cycle social support or school system. And districts must dedicate sufficient resources for that to happen. They're not going to be able to deal with the issues of delinquency, of bullying, and other elements given the social context unless you cycle social support the provider. Yes, you cannot provide an occupational therapist or a sociologist or a psychiatrist in the school, but at least every system or every district, there should be at least a kind of support that is visible and that is created. The difficulties we have, and as much as we have difficulties retaining our master science teachers who are competent in our rural areas, it is equally difficult to retain our skilled personnel who are psychologists and occupational therapists and speech therapists in our rural areas. This migration seems to be an organic thing that occurs, and we have to do something with regard to the incentives. With regard to the incentives, because it's heavy weight, the two problems in the domain incentives were corporate quadrilla and challenges with animals. And there was this issue about what is rural. The interior land is deep rural, it is distinction between deep rural and semi rural. How do you determine that? What do you pay? What about the distinction between a rural school and a hard city school? What about overcrowding in urban schools? And we've asked the head of department to come up with recommendations to the town communication minister. So, okay, let's have a uniform standard that's not so inflexible, but at least the principle so that we can have uniformity. Think about the reality of not long ago, when we had stipends that we paid for our ECD practitioners. 1,000 in one province, 2,000 in another province, 800 in another province. We have a minimum standard of 5,000. And we are aspiring towards integrating that into the professional course. Our in progress? Yes. Look at the results over here. Almost everybody has a minimum of level 4. Many of them are level 5, at least 3% are level 6. Practitioners, ECD practitioners. Where you have 70% of them will still have a level 4 training, not very long. And I do believe that if you aim in the right, your times are right, your objectives are right, you can improve in terms of that particular aspect itself. So with regard to ICT, I think I'm probably sufficiently strong about ICT, I'm not going to repeat it, and I think I've also addressed the issue of Funda Lushaka, which I hope you see as beneficial. You know, we have problems in the Eastern Cape with regard to practitioners. And Funda Lushaka has been a wonderful resource. And I think one of the realities that has come from both portfolios from the end of the lesson is that practically the practical element of teacher training must not be lost in terms of what the university offers. But there seems to be this gap in terms of actual training in the classroom itself. And they actually enhance less particular skills because you don't have qualified people who lack the skills. But the issue of principles and the competences I think there is. We have draft legislation and we are open and we certainly want our committee to help us. We ask the view that for the principles to appoint she or he must be experienced, must be qualified, and must be competent. In other words, must have the competence in the principal requirements in system management, in democratization of the environment, in communication, and arrange in terms of leadership and management, and arrange with other policies and attributes of the principal should have. So any further, I might have a master's degree, but if I don't have the competency of the principal, should I say I am eligible to be principal simply because of a master's degree? On the other hand, I might have all the competency, but I'm a few one teacher who's been teaching for 2 years. So now, you know, I'm good enough to teach to run schools. It can't be. It's a combination of those factors. And we should basically say, are those three factors critical and necessary for us to regulate in the appointment of principals so that we have a core or we have leadership in those particular areas that is dealing with the matter. Ms. Fellow, I've spoken to the sanitation element, thank you for reading that there, and indeed the innovation is encouraged, as you correctly indicate. With regard to the pregnancy, of course, I dealt with the matter, it's a huge matter, we can't pretend it doesn't exist. The standards that you raised are critical. And I think we look at our new school, the state of our school, we far see the norms and standards. But at the same time, you know, common sense tends at times not to be. But what we should do is look at the framework that we now have for the allocation of resources. We recommend that 40% should be used on energy to support material, 50% on services such as water, electricity, your gardening, whatever else, and 10% on maintenance. So when we have a situation out there where you have a broken window pane, should you wait for the department? No. If you're seeing this sort of problem, you've got a problem with your roof. I mean, I've missed schools, and I find the school terribly ugly, brilliant. And you go into a bathroom where you can see clearly the leak there. You could personally go out there and come to you and sort it out there. You don't even need someone. But people basically allow it to become worse and worse and worse, and it's still seeing for less, and they say, nobody worries about that. And they don't worry about themselves. Don't worry about them. But it's something that we've got to take ownership of our school. And we agree with that. Ms. Machete, Director of the Mr. Koda, Water Control, we've dealt with that. Mr. Davis. last time, it's the first time July. But thank you for it. I have tried, the reason why I came to you last, because I tried to see Proverbs 16 teachers, the reality. But the reality is, you know, where we were before and where we are now is completely different. We only were able to deploy in time something like 50% of one state, then improved 60%, and now almost universal. Our systems are becoming better, the pedagogical demands are becoming better, and I think we're getting a better cohort of education. I think the quality of teaching and learning becomes very, very critical, and we need assessment tools. And that's why your NL are so critical to be able to tell us why we should, what we should do better, and how we should do different, do things differently. I do believe that we have a particular responsibility in proper training, and the district-based approach that we have developed is certainly a useful approach, because district directors have shown that where they have the will, the passion, and the commitment, they are able to turn around entire districts in a very significant way. And therefore, the appointment of the district directors is not critical, and their management in terms of the delegation of power that is given to them to be able to provide close provision, because they know the environment, they know demand, and they have to wait for the problems to be able to do everything else, and many problems with the delegation is taking place efficiently and shown quite clearly that they are able to do things in a better way. I think the system is certainly on the mend. We have to look forward to a better future. We are concerned, as you are, about any drop in our intent, but we also say that the challenges of language are probably underestimated in terms of abuse. You go to an institution of higher learning, they tell you that there is nothing wrong with the cognitive ability of the learners that you send out here. But the learner who's mother tongue is neither English or Afrikaans, they have huge problems in terms of language. And that's the system in our school, and what we do differently, and there is a conversation with Maluk, to say that, I mean, you people are taking away the compensation quickly. But you know the impact of writing a paper in a language that is not your mother tongue. And I'm not talking about those who live in Cape Town, I'm talking about those people in the deep air, rural areas of Zululand, etc., who have fully exposure to a mother tongue, either in Zulu or in the Eastern Cape, in my English program. How do you expect that learner to perform when the language of learning changes after 30 years, equally on par to a learner whose mother tongue and that's the real question that has to be asked, and they are indeed looking at it. But what we've done is we've introduced language to the curriculum. We've made sure that English is introduced the first additional language right from the beginning, grade one, and I do believe that we've seen the impact on our primary school already. Any time, I do believe we will be able to overcome those important hurdles that we have. The sanitation of our teachers is on the basis of targets, it's certainly not a universal reality. I think we have toilets, by since Mr. Robinson. You have toilets and you have toilets. You have toilets that you'd like to visit and toilets you just want to stay away. And we have to deal with this matter of sanitation. And the minister is very, very vocal about this particular reality because she says it goes to the heart of the matter. It's about dignity of the learner, it's about the dignity of the educator, and we've got to deal with it very, 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 very critically. I thought the other issues that you've raised with David, I've tried to, we'll deal with broadly in terms of my responses to the other issues, and I do hope that I've given you adequate response, and obviously invite the experts who are there to be augment and assist me in any way possible. So, Chair, if you could just ask any of my colleagues if they would like to add to what I have already explained to you. We'll take a moment out. Otherwise, we can be here for a long time.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dean. I think the portfolio committee, or the portfolio commission, will agree with me if I say honorable members. The time when rights should have been listed just going to be at one time. Thank you so much, DM, for the comprehensive responses. We have covered quite a lot of issues that have been raised by the honorable members. There are very few that have been left. I will head over to you, Ms. Karosne, to lead all of you as I remember. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm going to allow my colleagues to speak to the specific items, but I just want to add to one around the civil issue. There was a comment made about the timeframe for 2017. It was actually not the deadline, but the only that was for application that was referred to. I'm not sure that Mr. Kujana will speak to the policies, but also the issue of quality
because this is conducted a venture with the Department of Higher Education, where particularly the issue of quality of teacher development, both at the initial teacher education, but also the CPTC, which we cover in DDE, that those remain the twin challenge for two departments. But at the same time, there's significant work being done already with EE support around the work of raising the quality standards within the Food and Shadow Code. I want to hand over to Mr. Kajal now to speak to any outstanding matters. I think there was one about PPM that you might want to add. And then I'm going to call on Mr. Kajal to add to focus on one or two of those NCT capital issues. We have had the encounter of the D-WIM, but I've also had feedback that the issue of the D-WIM education has already been covered and affects largely pregnant women in their host families. And I think our learners are certainly covered with the safety standard that the DA referred to. Then call after that, I'd like to say Dr. Mabula to speak on the outstanding matters around the rationalization issues you raised around infrastructure, if you want to add to that. And then Raj T to speak to the furniture of the clinic if there's anything you wish to add. There were one or two other matters that I think we've covered. Thank you. Mr. Badana.
Thank you very much, Chair, honorable members, and distinguished colleagues. Let me start with the question around the post-processing. My mother is a member. The idea is it is a drug that we use to send the post to school. But it is in the post-process that is declared in province. It is an allocation that is left for a province to manage. Which is called an ad hoc post. Like when it comes to the education, but also if you mention the education or when the name arrives. Meaning, those posts can be utilized by the government to augment on the areas of science and technology. Secondly, to improve the quality of teaching in our schools, one of the things I think is that we're to indicate that there are two ways in which we have put into this concept, both in terms of the Department of Higher Education and Training and our friends. Recall that we have conducted a study that focuses on this aspect of the quality of teaching, where if we look into the programs of the five universities and in the country, where we found that those institutions did not offer the same program. And their policies were scrutinized. And here is from the free service program, the Department of Education is actually looking to look into this matter. But secondly, in terms of the service program for research development to improve that policy, you recall that we have started to institutionalize the training of educators. That is why our focus in terms of the digitalization of the training of our educators focus on the professional apps, your center, which are closer to where educators are. And this has really assisted us a great deal to say, what are the needs of the teachers? It's only a UNS to see that they want to customize students to teach them. Hence, you would address the study and speaking about the collaboration that we have with Vodafone, the collaboration that we have with also Microsoft, in order for us to leverage with the potential that those service providers have within us in terms of providing support. If you look also in terms of the question that has been raised on the low power of the network, it is because of the tightening of our footprint. But if you recall that when people change practice, you know, we have to ensure that the contract that we have with those members does not, I mean, if you know that you went to university, focusing on the policy phase, you may not be changed. But there are quite a number of issues that we have identified for those members, for those members in the university themselves. And if you look at June as well as September students, because that's where we are doing monitoring. Some of the students declined or some canceled the study during the process because they decided to take maybe another course. And that is where we do the remedial action that we're taking in that regard. The issue of enforcing competency assessment for principals and graduates is not merely a letter that we're talking to, we're talking about a CM decision. The CM decision that has been taken by the Council of Education Ministers that anyone who wants to become a principal of the school must undergo a competency assessment. Hence, the response is able to demonstrate a problem that manage to implement that CEM decision. I must give the instance to the presentation 19 of the report. Page 19 of the report refers to the self-diagnosis assessment for teachers. We are starting to talk about the focus on 4,000 teachers. And the report is beginning to speak on the internal properties around item design, item evaluation, as well as on the pilot. Because we're using our charges of the teachers to pilot the testing of the teachers on the subject of development. We're not going to end the pilot. But to protect the system, we should do the mapping rollout. We're currently in the procurement process to ensure that we are able to see massive rollout. So the figures that we see there are figures that are reflecting the internal processes before we classify the rollout in terms of the self-assessment. Yes, we do have the results of the pilot, but we're keeping them so they inform us about the areas that we need to strengthen. Thank you very much.
In terms of the target, we're still looking at the number of schools that are implementing the school nutrition program, and that's at around 19,800. And I must emphasize that in our report, in our total report, we always also indicate the number of learners that are benefiting, as the DM has already articulated. We do see over 9.2 million learners. And I must say that we have we have recognized the portfolio committee concerns around what we actually project in terms of accountability when it comes to the target, and not necessarily looking at them. But I think it's something that we have come to an agreement with Auditor General, because sometimes the National Department is being challenged to say that we are not implementing the school nutrition program, and therefore we cannot account for the learners. You know, so it's much more of an administrative and a technical arrangement that actually makes us to point to us to highlight the number of schools in terms of the target instead of the learners in the document. But also that we do indicate in our analysis report on the number of learners that they have. And then in terms of non-compliance, I think you are right that you know, we need to take a lot more in terms of taking measures against provinces that do not provide us with support. What we normally do is that soon after the quarterly report, we check which provinces have actually not complied. So this is in terms of the grant framework, a compliance requirement. And they are going to point to the head of the department to say that in terms of the quarterly report, you have not responded in time. And you know, we have also arranged with the coordinators, the provincial coordinators. We have scheduled as when should reach, you know, the report reach the department of education. But you do get, you know, those administrative challenges where the problems will then have difficulties in getting the support kind of by the HOD because of those issues, and that is of course of those issues. But we do have a process in which we would then remind the HOD on the non-compliance, because we know it has its own negative consequences in terms of the Auditor General. And then regarding the dual needs, I think DM has also, you know, highlighted the importance of the tenders. But I think maybe what I also want to highlight is that the new one is linked to the HPV campaign, which is the human papillomavirus. Now, during the evidence time, like effectiveness at the school, we then also supervise the educators as they administer the tablet. And this is an arrangement we have made with the Department of Health that the deworming will be linked to the HPV campaign. So in each and every, when it's twice in a year, we will have linked the deworming coupled with the HPV. So that means that we take care of any, you know, side effects that may arise when learners maybe experience any of that. But I have been told by Dr. Kumar that the agenda is on each day, and yes, in each day, and they are experiencing, you know, isolated symptoms of immunity, not all policy taken after meals and not before meals. I think that is all that.
I'd like to again say we are assuring our collectors each and every school when they will be taken by the nurse, there will be instructional nurse that is for them.
That is correct, because it is done only when the HPV is being administered in school. And we have also taken care of intermediate schools, you know, junior schools, where there's actually junior school from grade 7, where there is no grade 4 in a school. So what we have done is that we have actually isolated the schools where the HPV is not being administered, right? Now what we have done is that we are in negotiation with the Department of Health to have student nurses in colleges to actually administer. So those negotiations are being in the process so that we can make sure that those schools where there are no health nurses present at the premises, in the premises, then they will be taken over by the student nurses.
Also require the parents.
Of course, that is planned. We always make sure that, like right now, we are currently just monitoring. The first question that we have, that we ask is that we need to have all the parental consent before this can be admitted.
Yes.
on furniture that the question that was raised around Limpopo and Mpumalanga, that the delay in the delivery of furniture. The two provinces were involved in a protracted procurement process. Limpopo, in fact, let me start with Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga had appointed a service provider after the trial of the contract. And at the time of reporting, the service provider was busy with manufacturing process after the appointment, and immediately after it was opened, delivery started as the infrastructure in that province. The call that we had, in fact, we had a meeting with them on the 11th of this month, was that more than 50% of the government had been delivered. Limpopo, at the time of reporting, the award had not yet been done. The award was done at the beginning of the calendar year in January. So service providers are around 15, if I'm not mistaken, 15 providers have been appointed to the province to deliver furniture and deliver services. The difference with the model in Limpopo was that service providers that have proven to have capacity and stock to deliver were appointed. So the middle on appointment, then we will go to start with that.
I'm not sure how much time we have left. We'll have to check with the CFO. Thank you, Honorable Chair. The question I'm going to respond to is the one on the Auditor General's report. On the translation issue that was raised, the main issue that was raised on supply chain went through with implementing agents. Issues that have to do with procurement in the government system were very minimal. So, as it has already indicated, because the money comes from us, whatever that is done by the agency agents has to be reported in our report. So, what has been done to try and fix this? There's regular meetings that the infrastructure meeting has with the agency agents. But the last meeting we were invited to the meeting and we discussed these issues with. The various implementation and there was a recommendation which I think was very good that was suggested by infrastructure that all the community agents must have good champions, because the other challenge has been that in some cases although there were issues that were raised, it was not exactly that things were not done because information was not provided adequately to the auditor general. So with a champion, that is the responsible to ensure that all the information that is required is provided to the auditor general. But on all the other methods that were raised, what we have done, we have developed an action plan that has been discussed regularly with the various sections to check on the progress and what has been done to improve on what the auditor general has raised. And then the updated report will be discussed at the senior management, and hopefully we will minimize the issues that are raised.
Thank you very much for that, for those responses. Honourable members, that was our second and third quarter report. And I know DMA always told us as the committee that we do link to the report. We are eagerly waiting for the fourth quarter report, where we'll be looking at the information at the beginning of the financial year. And that one is usually a very interesting meeting, because that is where we are having the year end. We're getting to hear the picture and how progressive and how the department has been progressing according to the APG. So that is exactly what we are going to be doing. That is from now onwards we are preparing for that meeting for. We are setting up the year for that for the report and the issues that have been raised and some of the things that we have prepared that we need to see appearing in those reports, those are the things that we're following up on that data. But otherwise, I don't remember, I think our questions, issues that have been raised have been well attended to, and we are coming to the end of our meeting where DM will be saying, and we are always saying this, that this is one of the very important committees that we have in the country. This is one of the committees where we are laying the background for the future. This is the department where maybe if things go wrong, that maybe you should have a huge impact in our nation as a whole. So the issues of the triple that you are looking at, the issue of lack of skills, we are laying the foundation when it gets to the education. So that's why we always think to restrict, always hiring not that we are, because we are thinking of that African child that is very much in those countries and so we always need the support that you need, but we always be having the issues and want to know how we are implementing the policies and the plans that you come up with. Otherwise, on behalf of the committee, thank you very much for today's meeting, which was very fruitful. And moving further, on the issues of loose learning, I think the commission as well always saying everybody has got an interest in you, got an interest of our children. These are one of the things that these two will communicate to the public. Then. I know you have been talking about it on that issue. It's something that our learners, our children are coming back to with those forms that the parents are, you know. I was asking this question because I received two calls yesterday saying, is it safe? Should we really allow our kids to be given these medicines at school? And really, to those parents who call it, that, as far as I know, they're very safe. I need to say, we need to communicate. Communication is always important. Let the communities out there know what the department is doing and the importance and the things on what you are coming up with. But thank you very much for all these programs. Honorable members, next week again, we are having a very committee with the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. Initially, there was a request for a change, but looking at the date that you have proposed, there is a challenge that the department is basically taking that day. We'll be having a workshop on ICT where all these entities that you are waiting for will be held up in that workshop. So we agree with that. Let us go there to the rest of March with that meeting. Sorry for that leakage of the confusion, but let's go to our back to our original program where next week, the 1st of March, is a joint portfolio committee between these two committees, telecommunication and basic education. The issues that have been raised that we have started last week and today around the issues of operation services, connectivity, the programs and whatsoever, those are the issues that should be thoroughly discussed next week and we'll be getting exactly what is happening, where are we as a country when it comes to the issues of connectivity and operation. So we'll go and prepare on that one and still emphasize in the end and it has been happening. Thank you very much to the club members with the presentations and the documents that will be used. We are only interested in this document, but they said that so that members can go and get a chance to go through them to prepare themselves for the meeting and to be as yet to that members that they never prepared. So we're also pleading that the same happens in this week. Let us get all the presentation by that day. The latest should be that day. We can appreciate it if we can even get it today, but we do have members at the meeting, the minutes end where we ended last time with our main meeting, going through all those so that you can have a good continuation of our meeting next week. Thank you so much, and I remember, thank you to you and to the colleagues for meeting with us.
Can you give my pink up?
Mark calling.
Hi.
Not going to see if there's no calling.